Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Worldwide, the social engineers, financed by unlimited globalist fiat currency, are attempting to domesticate the population and train us to be servile minions of their systems. But at the same time, the spirit of liberty is reawakening across the planet. As the world government comes more and more out in the open, the people are being stirred from their deep slumbers. It is the 25th day of April, 2011, on this Monday edition. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of policy, Department of the Treasury, will be joining us to break down the incredible economic news. I have flown Wayne Madsen to Austin for a video interview for an upcoming documentary, but he'll be popping in later today and tomorrow in studio with us. He just arrived in Austin minutes ago, or his plane's coming in. I know we've got people there picking him up. Going through this news and information, obviously things are getting crazier by the minute. If you go back a decade ago or more, when we had economists on breaking down that as they sold derivatives in the world market pegged to the dollar, that would cause a dollar devaluation when they tried to basically prop those derivatives up. That was always planned. Here are the headlines. Dollar's decline speeds up. China's planning to cut U.S. reserves by two-thirds. Bombshell. Gold and silver continue to surge. Just got chills. That's why last Monday I got chills on air when Standard & Poor's came out and said the outlook for the dollar in the future is not good. It's grim, and the AAA rating is grim. IMF bombshell. Age of America nears end. IMF World Bank, run by the very same Federal Reserve that dominates this country. That's why Geithner says we need more debt, because we're in debt to him through made-up debt. It'd be like if I could take a pen and just have government authorization to say that this was a trillion-dollar note and get people to accept it. And if I had the police and military backing it up, and I just wrote out a trillion-dollar note right here, and now I go, I'll loan you this $1 trillion. I just wrote this on the back of a folder, but I'm the private Federal Reserve, so here's the trillion, and now you're going to give me all your rights for this. You're going to pay me interest, and I get all the land, and I get to set all the regulations. Here it is. I just made it up, but I paid off your politicians, so they're going to accept it. The $1 trillion is mine. And it's just unbelievable this is all happening. Ron Paul to announce his 2012 presidential run within days. Steve Watson has this key report with inside info up on prisonplanet.com and infowars.com, obviously. And I told you last week that we would see this by this week. I don't even have the staff to be marking these predictions down, but you all heard it over and over again. I challenge some of the great listeners who check out prisonplanet.tv to go cull through this last week and to post it on YouTube. We'll write an article about it. Just because it's a nice trick to show the uninitiated and those that aren't informed. I can make films about it a decade ago. I can make films about it 2 years ago. I can talk about it thousands of times. But if they see the YouTube timestamp, it tends to wake them up a little bit. I told you that by this week, just estimating how the media works, first they said, oh, Apple spies on you a week ago. And then, oh, the droid via Google spies on you. And then, oh, the other phones. And now the headlines, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, all phones are spying on you. And that's the way it is. And yes, the government asked them to. So now it's introduced to the slaves. Here's the big headline at Infowars.com. Investigation. Government ordered cell phone companies to spy on users. This was all ordered. And, of course, it's old news for you, 15-year-old for my listeners. But now it's new, though, because they're now admitting it. And we're going to be breaking all that down as well. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Monday, the 25th day of April 2011. We have the former head of policy in the Department of Treasury, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, joining us to deal with this headline that's up at Infowars.com. IMF bombshell. Well, it's not a bombshell for this audience. It's old news. The traitors that run our country have been maneuvering us into bankruptcy for a long time and preparing the global economic implosion to be blamed on us and the military tyranny to be blamed on the U.S. after we supplied the New World Order with the finances and the muscle to carry out their takeover. They're done with us. IMF bombshell, age of America nears end. China's economy will surpass the United States, and China prepares to dump its U.S. Treasury reserves by two-thirds. That will signal the complete implosion of the dollar, and it will wreak unmitigated havoc. Meanwhile, gold and silver are continuing to surge on this news, not because gold and silver are worth more. Global currencies are being devalued in a concerted, triangulated effort. For the first time, the international organization has set a date for the moment when the age of America will end and the U.S. economy will be overtaken by China. And they go on to say it's closer than you think. They went on to say 2016. And, of course, they're just getting you ready for it. It's already taking place. The globalist, through globalism, through NAFTA, GATT, and other laws, have moved our shores, our jobs offshore, and it is just now a foregone conclusion unless we reverse ourselves and get out of globalism. Continuing, that was a headline out of Market Watch, a division of the Wall Street Journal. This is out of CNBC. Don't like a weak dollar? Might as well get used to it. Here's another headline. Gold and silver continue to surge. Gold hit a record high while silver surged more than 5% to within a whisker of its all-time peak as the dollar continues to decline and inflation concerns drove haven flows, that is, capital into what's seen as safe havens. Now, remember that the politicians told you that QE1, QE2, now they're talking about QE3, calling that a continuation of QE2. It won't be called QE3. It'll be called a expansion of QE2. Flooding the world with dollars. Other currencies going down as well, but not as fast as the dollar. The decline led by the dollar. They told you that was going to be a good thing for the economy. They told you globalism, NAFTA, GATT, China having tariffs on our goods, the U.S. not having tariffs on theirs, China having a lower currency, our currency being above theirs, China not allowing independent companies in, only insiders. All of this set up a consolidation of the global markets in a handful of people's grasp. And globalism is a predatory financial warfare system. The globalists don't want a free market. They want a crony insider system where they are exempt from the taxes. ExxonMobil, of course, GE, the list goes on and on. Google paying 2.4% taxes. So they've set up globalism where no one can compete with them. And then they call that free market and have a gaggle of fake libertarians who are basically out there pushing the public towards, quote, privatization and, quote, free trade when it's not privatization and it's not free trade, when government comes in and only allows certain corporations to bid to take over infrastructure, and then they basically increase the prices and the corporations just step into the position of government itself. So again, let me just read you these headlines. IMF, see how good globalism's been for us? See how it's delivered the end of the industrial economy. Then they promised it'll be a great service economy. Now that economy is withering on the vine. IMF bombshell, age of America nears end. Commentary, China's economy will surpass U.S. in 2016. Continuing, don't like a weak dollar. Might as well get used to it. CNBC. Here's a report out of the official Chinese government news agency. China should cap Forex reserves at $1.3 trillion U.S. dollars, and they go on to signal that they may cut their purchases by two-thirds of the dollar. They've already announced last year they're moving away from allowing people to purchase things in China with dollars. You've got to do it in their currency, the yuan. Meanwhile, remember OPEC last Monday came out and said, hey, in Reuters, we're going to cut oil production because there's not enough demand. Now this is while publicly available information shows demand is at all-time highs. Prices are surging globally. And their answer is to slash output, which will only send the prices up higher. And there's one thing our media has been denying for years, why oil prices have gone up. And it's predominantly because globally, oil is denominated in dollars. If you want to go to Saudi Arabia, or you want to go to Libya, or you want to come to the United States, or you want to go to the Brazilian oil companies, you want to go to the Dutch or the British oil companies, you buy the oil in the dollar. And so the dollar's being devalued. It's elementary, my dear Watson. It's so elementary. And in years past, when people talked about this, like Ron Paul, 3 years ago in the last presidential campaign, he got laughed at because the globalists know that the mainline yuppies don't have a brain cell to rub together, two brain cells to rub together. And so as long as the system laughs on the news like Salacious Crumb sitting on Jabba the Hutt's shoulder, as long as they do that, well, the general public who likes to be conned and to be ignorant slaves, they giggle and snicker as well. In fact, they're giggling and snickering listening right now. They think this is all funny, the high gas prices, the dollar plunging. They think it's all cute because they like to get conned and hurt real bad. Now, more and more people are waking up, breaking their giggling trance, and are actually becoming concerned with what's happening. IMF bombshell, age of America nears end. How many years did we tell you this was the globalist plan? You know, we knew from the 1975 Trilateral Commission reports that were public, where they described how in the next 30 plus years, they had a strategic plan to globalize systems, create standardized systems behind the scenes, then have a global currency war, and then global devaluation, and on the ashes of that, build a new economic currency order. You'd still have euros, you'd still have yuans, yens, dollars, but they will be denominated and stabilized, that's the quote, by this new private banking cartel that will control through the G20 the currencies, the interest rates, and that will allow even greater vertical integration and insider trading. And that's why the German Stock Exchange just basically bought the New York Stock Exchange. It's all consolidating into one system. Right now, so they can accelerate the fraud, so they can accelerate the squeezing of the public, so there's no free market, no underground market, no local market, everything controlled by them and the fiat currency they issue, the digital money that they get the planet for. And you know, I described it in the last segment. If you're not watching on PrisonPlanet.tv but listening on the radio, I took a manila folder and I basically put $1 trillion on there. How many zeros does a trillion have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. How many zeros does a trillion have? Let me see. You know, these numbers get so large. The point is, I could write a trillion. I could write a billion. I could write a quadrillion. I could write... So this is way more than a trillion. A trillion has 12. You know, I've put 21 numbers here. What's 21? I guess that's a quadrillion or more. So, you know, the globalists have created over 1.5 quadrillion. So they just basically write it on the back of a manila envelope and they just issue it. And then they say, will you sell your sovereignty? Will you sell your liberty? Police, will you crack heads for $30,000 a year? Teachers, will you dumb people down for $30,000? Will you sell your soul? And the public just falls down before the idols of the New World Order, made up out of nothing. You know, it's got more air in it than cotton candy and even less nutrition in it, psychically. And they just bite into it and just say, we are ready to sell out our families, our birthright, our future. We want to be servile slaves. And the globalists say, well, under the system, we're going to totally deindustrialize you and make you so poor that we're going to use a welfare system of CPS workers in the future saying, if you're poor, you're not allowed to have children. And we're going to come and take your children. And they're like, yes, we want to be slaves. We want to be hurt by you. Good. We're going to put more fluoride in the water. We're going to put more mercury in the shots. We're going to create GMO foods across the board that give you cancer and sterilize you. Do you like the curse? Do you want to not just be enslaved for fiat money made up out of nothing and a fraud? Are you going to let us hurt you for the world population reduction? And the yuppies say, if it's trendy, we want it. If it's slick, we want it. If it's cool, we want it. And the system says, okay, slit your throat, it's cool. And they could lay razor blades out for yuppies and have a Hollywood star slit their throat on TV. And they would sit there and slit their throat, their children's throats, if it was cool, if it was stylish. So they want to be slaves. They want to be hurt. They want to be conned. They want to be servile. It's a fetish now. I see it in a lot of people, to be conned, to be pushed around, to be abused, to kind of cozy up to the tyranny and act like they're part of it. They kind of play along with it, and it makes them, at a subconscious level, feel like they're part of the power structure, and they actually enjoy it. So don't worry. You're going to pay $7 a gallon. Okay, don't worry. You're going to get cancer early. You're going to get everything you want. Everything you want. And the abortions, you're going to get that too. That's a special right you've learned to love. You're going to get that as well. The wages of sin are death. The wages of giving into corruption and deluding ourselves that not having a Bill of Rights and Constitution is cute is enslavement. And enslavement isn't cute or funny. You know, Africa per capita has many times more resources than North America. Latin America, Southern North America, Mexico has many times the resources of North America. Many analysts peg it at about three times. The soil's value, gold, oil, you name it. But they have giant poor populations because they never got a shot at liberty. They never got a shot at private property for the general public. They never got a shot at a true free market. The United States hadn't been perfect, but compared to any other culture in the world, it has outperformed everything. And so the globalists came here, took it over, used it as an engine to expand the British Empire model, and now they're done with us. They have turned us into from the greatest creditor nation to the greatest debtor nation. And that's why Geithner says expand the debt. That's the answer. Because bankrupting us is the goal. That's always the central banker's goal. And so I was very nasty last segment because this is a nasty situation. I am totally disgusted and freaked out by what's happening. Because I know what it's going to mean during this depression. They're going to sick the blue-collar folks, a lot of which are great patriots and fully aware of what's happening and who work very hard. But they're going to sick some of the socialistic blue-collar people and the welfare hordes on the rest of the blue-collar workers, the lower middle class, the nouveau riche, and the independent wealthy. And the war is on. They are going to sit there with class warfare, and they're going to release, as the banksters have done in countless third-world countries in Eastern Europe, the disenfranchised hordes of people who are going to get their welfare and their Social Security and their Medicare and their Medicaid cut as part of austerity. They're going to sick them on the general public and tell them, raise taxes and you'll get your subsidy back. And then, of course, it won't materialize, but that won't matter. And a lot of folks say, well, why is California raising taxes? Why are the feds trying when they know Kennedy cut taxes by around 50%? and tax receipts doubled, why does government want to raise taxes? They want to destroy wealth. They want to destroy their competition. They are exempt offshore. The Fortune 100 pay less than 5% taxes on average. Domestic corporations, it's around 9%. Okay? But most of them are international. You've got to understand that, ladies and gentlemen. But then if you're self-employed and run your own business, your own sole proprietorship or domestic corporation, you pay 40% corporate tax, 35% individually. And they've got the CPAs as these kept minions, and they will not give you the exemptions that are there. And then if you don't go with a big CPA, you get audited. And they come in and say, we're disallowing these exemptions. We don't care if the law says you get them. It's designed to shut down their competition, and I know that you know that. But we better get this message out to people, and we better do it fast, because the plan has always been to kill the dollar and then to come out with the new Bancor IMF World Bank digital currency that controls all the other currencies, and then they're going to stabilize them for a while once we accept this system and then start the next round of financial implosions. Case point example, for the last decade, the globalists slashed taxes through the politicians they controlled in Ireland, made it the center of investment, tried to pass 2 years ago and then again last year the entry of Ireland into the EU. Now, they went from the biggest creditor, per capita the fastest growing economy, per capita the biggest creditor, all of it, overnight being told they were bankrupt last year, within 1 month of them voting to join the euro. The euro was a contract agreeing to letting private central banks come in to take over the country, and the head of the Irish Central Bank told the BBC and other papers in a speech, I read the headline over and over again, remember a few months ago, he said it's good to have foreign banks own and run Ireland. Yes, we don't really owe this money ourselves, but we're signing on to the debt of the banks. Same thing with Iceland. Same thing with other countries. I mean, it's so incredibly naked in how corrupt it is, but they only get away with this because the people are so incredibly ignorant about finance. I mean, it is off the charts. In fact, folks, I keep mentioning that. Let's try to pull that up from BBC. It was also in several other publications. Head of Central Bank of Ireland. It's good to have foreign banks owning our banks. That was the quote. I want to show that when we come back. And then I'm going to go through this news. And then the even bigger news, it's not news to our audience. Investigation. Government-ordered cell phone companies to spy on users. And finally, the mainstream media is admitting what we told you 15 years ago. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Wayne Madsen is here in town, getting ready to leave the United States via death threats emanating out of the White House. He's going to be in studio with us. We have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joining us coming up in T-minus 1 hour to break down all the huge economic developments. I want to open the phones up, though, for listeners on two specific questions. Now, normally, we just have wide open phones, but sometimes I pose the question on certain topics. I want to hear your view on the massive warrantless wiretapping and tracking via federal law 1996, now public information. It was always public in the law, but now finally getting admitted to. I want to get your view on this. I mean, just 5 years ago, Bush was giving speeches saying, how dare you say we're spying on American citizens without warrants? I promise we're not. We're only listening to Al-Qaeda overseas and not following these FISA warrants. Then it turned out he was completely lying. 1996, under federal law, they said by October 1st, 2001, they said you got 5 years that all cell phones by law will be satellite triangulated via the cell towers, and the government has to have a back door to dial in even when the phone is off and to be able to track everywhere you're going and to listen to you. And they built back doors in the computers and back doors to have telecommunications floors in every major co-location facility run by the NSA. I mean, I told you a decade plus before the executive at AT&T went public in San Francisco that the government isn't tapping the phone companies. The government is the phone companies. Because I read the Telecommunications Act. There's nothing more frustrating than knowing all of this and sitting there and warning people and having folks call me a conspiracy theorist. In fact, here's the headlines today. Researchers, this is Bloomberg Business Week. Oh my gosh, big breaking news. iPhone location data already used by cops. And it turns out they dial in and are able to use the information. Here's another one. Apple, we must have comprehensive user location data on you. And they go on to say that they have to do this because of telecommunications laws. See, now that they're getting heat, they're going, yeah, well, we were told to do this. Continuing with police state news, Napolitano, TSA touching six-year-old, was professional. Here's another one. Military patrols start Friday night in downtown Columbus, Ohio. Oh, yeah, military patrols on the street. That's WRBL-TV, CBS. Here's another one. TSA, an army of pervs and criminals. New reports of child porn allegations with these people. So that's just part of what we're going to be covering. Another video gets released of a guy in his own front yard videotaping people being arrested for burglary. The cop comes over, beats the living snot out of the guy who was polite, and then charges him with assaulting him. But the cops did the right thing in Las Vegas. The prosecutor dropped the charges on the guy the cop beat up and released the video. I got to say, that's the right thing to do. And it's sad that we've got to commend the Las Vegas Police Department for doing the right thing, because they're going after this cop now. When the cops beat somebody up and frame them, normally they go ahead and go along with it and would erase that video. How do we know? We've seen videos where they beat people up, erase their video, but then somebody else shoots the video and catches them in it. Or the time the cop shot the guy in handcuffs in the back, and then they claim the guy had assaulted him, and they confiscated three cell phone cameras, but somebody else down the platform had videotaped that. So then the cops lied, and they got caught, and the guy got convicted. I think he only got like a year in jail for it. But the point is that this guy was totally polite. The Las Vegas Review-Journal breaks it down. This guy was totally polite to the cops, and the cop beats him up. The others are supportive in the beatdown, and then they went ahead and charged him. Not only did they break his nose, the cop knocks him to the ground, starts punching him. The guy says, "Why are you doing this to me?" The cop kicks him right in the nose and breaks his nose. At that point, he's knocked out. And then they take him to jail and fill out a false report that he beat him up. I mean, who are these people that the police departments are hiring? But again, at least the cops reviewed the video and found out the cop was lying and then dropped the charges on the other guy. So that's coming up as well. LAPD helicopter forced to land by gunfire. Some lunatic, it reports, was outside just shooting a gun in the air, so the helicopter responded, and then he shot the helicopter. I think that's a terrible thing that happened. But all these people that talk about if we ever have a physical war with the globalists, and, oh, they got helicopters, ooh, they got weapons. What did the Lebanese do 3 years ago in Israel with low-tech weapons against Israeli tanks? They beat them. Why? Low-tech weapons against helicopters. Why did they beat them? Because they had the will to fight. It's the will to fight that's unstoppable. Resistance is victory. And I think it's terrible that obviously some lunatic was outside just shooting a gun in the air when this happened. My whole point is those that say that high-tech military force is impossible to beat, nothing can stop highly motivated asymmetrical warfare. If you're willing to give up your life, no one can stop you. Okay? I mean, let's just get that straight. Nothing can stop will. Nothing can stop motivation and initiative. All right. Now, if you just joined us, I'm going to read these financial headlines to you again. This is why I was so shaken last week on air, just by the magnitude of it. And I likened it to standing at the edge of a cliff. It's not even, when I stand on the edge of a cliff, I'm not even scared. I'm just tingling and super alive. It's like having cold ice water thrown on you. It's brisk. It's electric. It awakens you. And when S&P came out, highly political, and reported what we've known for many years and said the outlook is grim for AAA rating for the U.S. because that's how the bankers have maneuvered us. They've gotten us towards this third world debt slave banana republic position. They've maneuvered us to this position. This was done by design. It's admitted in the 2002 IMF World Bank documents that what they've done to the third world, they were getting ready to do to Europe and the United States. And they're bringing down Portugal. They're bringing down Spain. They're bringing down Iceland. They're bringing down Greece. They're bringing down Ireland. This is the goal. This is what the EU and the North American Union have been designed to do. Bring us into financial bondage through fraud. So when I talked about being basically shaken last week, because this is the beginning of the other shoe dropping. And no, I'm not pleased that we were right about gold and silver exploding in prices. I'm not pleased that history isn't different this time. Oh, it's been the same every time. We know where this leads, hyperinflation. We know where these policies lead, civil unrest that the globalist social engineers have been preparing for. They create the climate for destabilization and then prepare to now pose as the saviors. We know exactly where all of this is going. We've seen this over and over and over again. And again, that's what's so frustrating about this. The solutions are 100% clear. Who is to blame for this is 100% clear. That they've premeditatedly done this is on record in triplicate. And I have discussed for the general dumbed-down public, because they're not just going to sit on the sidelines as they become repossessed slaves. They're going to be and are being forged into a political weapon against those of us that are self-sufficient and intelligent and prepositioned ourselves through historical knowledge to make it through this. We are the fat hogs that they want to bleed now. And they've got an army of dumbed down, gibbering zombies politically that are very dangerous. They got 30 million illegal aliens that'll do whatever they're told. They've got tens of millions of people on welfare, over 44 million on food stamps. They've got the cops and the bureaucrats and the social workers and the unions and all of them. Half the public gets their money from the government in one form or another. And now they're going to be told, take over the rest of society, the police state will put food on your table, and what do you think they're going to do? Many historians noted that during World War II, especially in Germany, bureaucrats, boring, really nondescript people, are what energized the Nazi Party. And that it was that dull, bureaucratic type that were thrilled in exercising power and doing brutal things to people and stealing property. I mean, it wasn't just the Jews, by the way, or the Seventh-day Adventists that the Nazis went after. By the end, they were robbing their neighbors. By the end, if they wanted your wife, they would have you arrested. My grandfather grew up in Dallas in a upper middle class area, and there was a rich German inventor, the inventor of air conditioning, that lived in the big mansion at the end of the street. And my grandfather was friends with him. And by the end of World War II, he was completely broke. And do you know why? Because the Nazis, through the United States, made him pay them every dime he had. And then when he didn't have any money, they made him go and, my grandfather told me this story, and I've seen similar ones in the news, go into debt to give him every dime he had or they would kill his family in Germany, relatives he had in Germany. Now, that's what the Nazis did to basically everybody. If you want to live under a system where the government has total arbitrary control and there's no checks and balances, there is nothing more humiliating, there is nothing more horrible, nothing more disgusting than this. But they've got an army of control freaks who love it and who enjoy it. Every miscreant control freak is empowered in this system. And it's up to good men and women to say no and to stand up against it. Continuing. IMF bombshell. Age of America nears end. IMF goes on to say the dollar is going to be removed as the world reserve currency, and China is going to replace us in the next 4 years. Here's CNBC. Don't like a weak dollar? Might as well get used to it. Weakness in the U.S. dollar, which is causing everything to go up, including gas prices. Well, they finally admit it's the dollar. I was the only mainline talk show host, big national host, 4 years ago, who would say on air that it was dollar devaluation that was causing oil prices to go up. That was the main driver. Some of it was speculation and other things. And I would get countless calls and emails and people asking, Alex, explain this to me. Now, how does a weak dollar do that? And I'm like, okay, well, globally, the dollar's worth less because they've printed more. And so it takes more of them to buy it. Do you understand? People said, no, I don't understand. And I'm like, how can you not understand? Well, finally, here it is. Weakness in the dollar, which is causing everything to go up, including gas prices, food and stocks, is unlikely to go away soon as the selling frenzy hits the currency market. And until the last few weeks, I would never hear mainstream media admit why the dollar's being weakened and prices are going up. Because the private Federal Reserve is devaluing it by monetizing 70%+ of the debt. And if you study hyperinflation, as you get into the final phases, it accelerates from a crawl to a walk, from a jog to a full breakneck sprint. And right now, the system's jogging. They've gone from a walk to a jog. And now they're signifying that the run and then the dash is about to start. And it's like going to the doctor and hearing my country has terminal cancer. And I just want to warn people. I want to reverse it. I want to stop it. It's going to be so painful. And it's not just going to be a depression. We had a depression in the late 20s, into the 30s, and major universities, you can pull these numbers up, estimated that 7 million died via malnutrition, from malnutrition-related starvation. That's how it works. You get skinny, you get malnutrition, and then you get the flu and die, or you get something that normally wouldn't kill somebody, and it does. 7 million over that decade are estimated to have died from malnutrition or starvation. And that's when the country was 90% self-sufficient, 90% rural. We're 10% rural, and only half of that 10%, you can pull these numbers up, they vary from 5% to 6% that are self-sufficient. Of the 10% that are rural, half or 5% are self-sufficient. Can you imagine what this is going to be like if it continues? We're going to have a crash landing. The question is, will we get the landing gear down? Will we get the nose of the plane up enough so that maybe we just spin out and, you know, maybe damage the plane just a little bit? Well, right now, the plane's going straight down in a dive bomb right towards the ground, and we're at about 3,000 feet and going fast at about 600 miles an hour, and we better start pulling that plane up or we don't have any chance. And Geithner is saying, we're going to have a default. We're going to have hyperinflation. We're going to have a depression if you don't go into more debt and raise more taxes to us, when there's no amount of money that'll pay off the false black hole of derivatives that they got our traitorous Congress, both parties, to sign on to. They are taking us directly dive bombing into a black hole, and they designed it that way. And they're counting on you being ignorant to not know it. 100%. I had Stuart Rhodes here last week, and we shot a video that's going to be out later in the week, first video in our new studio. And he made the analogy of, you've got the SS Titanic out there in the Atlantic Ocean. It hits an iceberg. The globalists steer it into the iceberg, and up pulls the SS UN. And they're saying, get on our global government thing. We'll save you. And Stuart said, we need the USS Constitution to pull up and say, no, get back on this ship. We got on the globalist ship, the Titanic, where they want us dependent, where they want to wreck our society, where they want to destroy the free market, where they want to vertically consolidate wealth. They've now wrecked it on purpose. The boat is listening. The furniture's falling off. The lifeboats are gone. People are falling off into the icy water. And the UN ship has pulled up saying, come to us. We'll take care of you. Well, the UN ship is even more depression, more control. More domestication, more one-child policy, as they announced last year in Cancun. Openly, world government to carry out one-child policy, Ted Turner. Well, instead, we need to get off the NAFTA-GATT globalist big government ship and get on the USS Constitution, the USS 1776. The answer to 1984 is 1776. Giving in to tyranny always just makes the tyrants want more. And they're doing this willfully and scientifically. Aldous Huxley. Julian Huxley, his brother at the UN. All of them. Bertrand Russell all wrote about there have been tyrannies in the past, but this one we're setting up is going to be scientific. And everything they wrote about in the 20s and 30s, they've now built. See, I have the complete blueprints. They're public for you as well. Okay, I'm going to come back, get into the cell phone situation, and then we're going to go to your phone calls for 30 minutes in the next hour. 1-800-259-9231. Now, there's another point I want to make here before I continue and then come back in the next hour with your calls. And that's that this is all illegal under every free system, under the Magna Carta, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution of any nation that's ever been called even semi-free. To have the governments openly training the military to take on the people. That's happening and being announced and rolled out quietly. To have governments tracking you in live time, listening to you, having computers dial in and listen to you, having laws on the books for 15 years. Same in Europe. They passed similar laws the same year. To have global standardization of the cell phones made in Japan, Korea. What do you think Japan and Korea do? Because they're ordered under federal law, if they're going to sell phones in this country, that they've got to be satellite tracked. They've got to have back doors where the government can dial in and turn the phone on as a bugging device. Well, they just go ahead and make all the phones that way. And then their governments are given the specs and are able to dial in. This is a unified continuity of agenda, global architecture of control. And there is a Paul Watson article that I asked him to do last week, and we worked on last week, but he got it out today. And I'm not tooting my horn. I just want you to understand we don't make stuff up. Remember I told you last week, I said, you watch in the next week, they're going to have mainstream news articles out admitting that, yes, all the phones are listening to you. All the phones are tracking you. And when you plug your iPhone or draw it into your computer to sync with the system, it downloads all your locations. It's transmitting them back live. And here's the headlines. Researchers, Bloomberg Businessweek, iPhone location data already used by cops. Apple, we must have comprehensive user location data on you. It's the law. We've got to do it. Now, here's Paul Watson's article detailing all of it at Infowars.com. Investigation, government-ordered cell phone companies to spy on users. And he's got the link to the Telecommunications Act of 96 and everything I broke down. The lawmakers saying they want investigations. Well, they ought to investigate themselves. This is federal regulations. Now, regulations don't trump law or precedent. They don't care. I mean, I'm going to expand on that. I've had district attorneys on from major counties, one out in San Francisco, saying that if the government sticks their hands down your pants, it's a felony. And if they touch you on the outside, it's a misdemeanor. And that sworn peace officers can't do that. Does the TSA care? No, they just do it. The government knows it's illegal. They're setting the precedent to do it. All of them that engage in these pat downs are molesters. Now, they've just busted another one for allegedly being so stupid, he was uploading hundreds of images of child porn to his own Facebook with photos of him in his uniform. Well, ladies and gentlemen, who do you think statistically would want to have angry passengers all day mad at them? And who would want to grope one-year-olds and five-year-olds and six-year-olds? Who do you think would want to do that? Either a total idiot or a control freak, a bully or a pervert. How many of them do we learn take you in the private room to strip search you down to your underwear and then rob your bags? They're running your stuff through, see something they want. Excuse me, come over in the private room while they rob your bags. If you'll put up with this, what's coming next? I'll tell you. Blood draws at checkpoints, now beginning nationwide under federal grants to local police departments. DNA draws to get a driver's license, now beginning last year in D.C. Oh, yes. Washington Post telling you how great it is. I got articles about troops going on the streets of America now. Today, CBS News, like it's no big deal. Troops running checkpoints, like it's no big deal. Do you get what's happening? Criminals took the country over, bankrupted us by design. Now they're putting their control grid in place to make sure they can complete the takeover.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're back live, my friends. Now into hour number two. And in the first hour, I was basically grieving for my nation and what the globalists have done to our republic. If you just joined us, we're going to be recapping the news coming up later in the hour, but all over the Wall Street Journal, CNBC, Associated Press, they're announcing the end of the dollar, approaching the birth of the global government backed up by the communist Chinese. Also, the Wall Street Journal, technology publications, you name it, are all confirming what we told you years ago, that by October 1st, 2001, under a 1996 telecommunications law that went into effect October 1st, 2001, the FCC has mandated that all wireless carriers track the location of their users down to 50 feet. They actually track down to about 3 feet. And iPhone, iPad, Droid users, it's all phones. They're now saying, look, don't be mad at us. It's federal regulations. So we told you this 15 years ago. It's now public. You could have always gone mainstream media to the Telecommunications Act and read it. But see, back in 96, we were land of the free, home of the brave. There was no way this Alex Jones guy was telling the truth. He was lying. You know, so many emails. Oh, you just claim the Patriot Act is for all U.S. citizens. They wouldn't look at Section 802. Oh, you just claim Section 213 lets them break in your house without a warrant and not even tell you they were there. Oh, you just claim the Telecommunications Act does this and that. No, I don't claim any of it. I read it. I cover it. I watch it get implemented with horror. And I'm not even a tech guy. So there's all of that. There's a bunch of Fukushima news of the radiation sickness and the ongoing cover-ups and the radiation levels increasing here in North America directly in line. Bizarre news dealing with troops on the streets of America. It's all coming up today, and we've got Editor Paul Craig Roberts joining us in about 30 minutes. Tim in Washington, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Alex. How's it going today?
I'm doing all right.
Right on. You know, honestly, I don't know other than I can only describe it as being mind control. Nobody seems to care for a reason. Self-preservation all of a sudden is, it's not fashionable. It doesn't make any sense to me as far as being an organism.
Well, people have been tricked into being spectators. And yes, an amoeba will run from a hot needle you put in the water. They'll run from the heat. An amoeba has no brain. It's a single cell bacteria. But the average American will not run from tyranny or recognize it. They don't even have the instincts a dog has when it growls at somebody that it doesn't trust. And 9 times out of 10, you know, if a dog, I've been to so many people's houses and they go, man, you must be a good guy. My dogs growl and bark at everybody. Charlie Sheen has these pugs, and for years I've gone to his house, and he just always points out they just run up loving on me when they growl and bark at everybody else. That's happened countless places because I am a loving but also confident person, and dogs pick up on that, and I like dogs. But the other issue is we all know if a normal dog that doesn't bark at a lot of people does growl at somebody, generally it turns out that person's a bad person. That dog has a sixth sense. Well, the general public doesn't have that anymore because they've turned into jellyfish that never respond to tyranny. I'm going to hold you over, Tim, as I started ranting, but finish up your point now.
My point was just that, you know, we have all of these things coming at us all at once, and yet nobody seems to care. They just, like, they'll get in the traffic, and they'll get ran over by the car before they decide to get to the sidewalk, and I just don't understand it. Ultimately, I just think that it might be too late for some. It might be way too late for people to understand what's going on before that wave just takes them over.
You're absolutely right. Do you want to elaborate on that point, Tim, when we come back, or are you done?
Oh, I can elaborate, sure.
Yeah, okay, I want you to start back over because I interrupted you. Finish up that point, then we'll go to Jared, Ben, Therese, Tom, and others. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we're taking your phone calls. What we told you 15 years ago is now all over the news. The mainstream media at any time since 1996 could have gone to the Telecommunications Act and read, we're all computers, all cell phones, all internet devices, telecommunications devices have to be hooked into the government where they can remote control, dial in, and listen to you even when the phone is off, and track you via cell phone triangulation. And I would cover this 15 years ago and have telecommunications people on, and I would get callers saying, how dare you, you know, I work for the phone company, you're a liar. And we knew that they were liars, just counting on people's ignorance. And I would also talk about the digital cable boxes more than a decade ago had onboard microphones. And I was told by engineers at the local cable company that indeed it looked like third parties were coming through and using those in the home. That was before the digital cable boxes had a reason to have microphones on board. And people would break them open, my listeners, and find the microphones and didn't know why. Google 6 years ago came out and admitted, yes, we use the onboard cameras and microphones to listen to you, but don't worry, it's a computer with keywords and it's picking up audio, and then we use that to tailor what type of ads to pitch at you. Now, I got emails and calls saying you're a liar. I'm like, here's the PrisonPlanet.com article. Here's the link to Google's press release. See, I'm giving you press releases by them. On their website, I'm giving you the Telecommunications Act that Watson's linked to again today in his article. If you're a new listener, everybody's freaking out over in the last week over Apple and then Google with their Google phone and then, oh, AT&T and oh, then this company and that company. Oh my gosh, they're tracking where I'm at. It's the Telecommunications Act. Welcome to the club. But see, 15 years ago, if the media would have done their job, people would have protested and gotten involved and reversed this. They waited till it was implemented in 2001 under law, passed in 1996. They had 5 years to get it in place. They waited till it was out there, and now the police are using it all over the country. I remember reading 2 years before in some trade publications that they were going to use the OnStar to listen to you. Now it's admitted they use that to listen to you, mainstream news. But here it is, researchers, Bloomberg, Business Week, location and data already being used by cops. The news, in quotes, that iPhones and iPads keep track of where you go has been known in forensic circles for some time. Oh, really? Yeah, they knew for 15 years and didn't tell you. Here's another one, Apple. We must have comprehensive user location data on you. This is out of the IB Times because it's the FCC regulation. So see, now the yuppies are ready to hear the truth. So get the article at InfoWars.com. It's linked to all of the information, and you can send this out to everyone you know. Investigation, government-ordered cell phone companies to spy on users. Okay? It was ordered. Get it straight. And yes, it's illegal. But who needs stinking warrants when the demonic chipmunk Janet Napolitano is ordering a bunch of perverts and thieves to stick their hands down your pants? Itself a felony. They don't care. They just do it. They're called tyrants. All right, I'm ranting. Tim in Washington, then Jared, Ben, Tom, Mike, and others. Go ahead, Tim.
You're totally right about it. I mean, the people are going to, they'll get upset for a little bit, but all they have to do is say cell phone lottery, and then all the zombies will love it again. It's a very frustrating system that we live in, and I appreciate your efforts to divulge the system that's been created around me. Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you.
Tim, anything else? All right, thank you so much, Tim. Jared in Nebraska. Jared, you're on the air.
Alex, thank you very much for having me on. My question is a little convoluted here, but I'll get to the bottom of it. I've been studying, the UN, the Bilderberg Group, the Club of Rome, all kind of the whole round table of the globalist agenda. My question is, we have verses in the Bible that say things like in Revelations, how it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be marked on the right hand, our forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark.
And let he who have understanding reckon the number of the beast, because it's 666 of the number of a man. Let he with understanding, it's a biometric handprint or face print. It's the number of a man. It's a number that calculates a digital barcode, and the barcode biometric system is based in a 666 calculation. Look it up. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, you're right. And I wasn't trying to, I was just saying, this kind of calls for, you know, wisdom, kind of like, let no one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, basically. So
let he who hath understanding calculate the number.
Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. That's what I meant. I said it backwards. I'm sorry. My question to you, though, is, do you think that this round table, the globalist agenda, do you think that they kind of use biblically verses like that to carry out and orchestrate their kind of their sinister
agenda? Well, absolutely. Revelation says there's 10 kings, 10 regions. The UN for 30 years has a 10-region model, then 10 sub-regions per region. The U.S. has 10 FEMA regions. They even built the EU Parliament building. In fact, we can pull it up. The EU headquarters is a Tower of Babel, and they said it's supposed to be a Tower of Babel, bringing all together. And so, yes, they believe they are carrying this out, and their internal religion from Skull and Bones, from Bohemian Grove, from the books written by the former German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, is that they believe Lucifer is God and that Jesus is the devil, basically, and that they are waging war against the devil. Lucifer is the good guy. Jesus is the devil. And yes, it is a Luciferian cult who believes that when they kill 90%+ of the world, they will be given immortality through genetic engineering. Now, even if you're an atheist and don't believe any of this, the point is, go research what I just said. The globalists are actually into this. This is what they really believe. And so whether it's true or not, these psychopaths have the power and are trying to carry this out.
And it just kind of makes it, Bill Hicks once made a joke in reference to, the new edition Bible, it's kind of like how it makes it more palatable and desirable to the reader. Well, the problem is it just seems like the people, I'm not bashing anyone who reads the Bible. What I'm saying is the people who read the Bible are kind of, it's almost like a way of, you know, wow, this is in the Bible. This is happening in the Bible.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. What you're saying is you see it as a self-fulfilling prophecy. Frank Herbert, in his book Dune, not the cheesy movie, but the book is excellent, wrote essays about it, saying as a historian and somebody who researched history, he was codifying things that had happened in history through archetypes in his book Dune. The first book's excellent. Those that came after it, he was just profiting. They're not very good. in my opinion. But the first one is a masterpiece. And in it, to planets all over the known Imperial Empire, this is our humanity in a distant future, 5,000 years in the future, they send the Bene Gesserit witches, which are a political religious arm, into every planet as the planet's being colonized to set up religious myths and dogma that a outsider, a messianic Mahdi or Messiah is going to come, so that if they ever need to have a rebellion and overthrow who's running that planet at the time, hundreds of years or thousands of years in the future, depending on which planet, they can send in their operative posing as a cult leader who will already have their religious network in place to then basically have the people go along with it because they see it as revelation. And so that's what you were trying to say there, Jared. I could tell where you were going with it in your own way. So I will say this, regardless of how you look at the Bible, whether you see it as a missionary and protectorate or whether you see it as real inspired word of God, regardless, the globalists are using it. They are setting it up. And I've read the Bible all the key areas over and over again. And let me tell you something. It says Christians go through this and the New World Order wages war against them. It does not say that Jesus is up there on board the Enterprise with Scotty beaming people up. Okay? There is no golden ejection seat or golden lasso. It says you go through it. And you know what? People are going to thumbprint and face scan to buy and sell. They're going to thumbprint and face scan to travel. They're going to go through the naked body scanners to travel if they buy into this is the end of the world. And the mainline Christians, they believe they're going to be raptured. That wasn't taught the last 150 years. They all believe they're about to be teleported off the planet. So they're like, praise God, it's happening. I'm going to go ahead and thumbprint to buy and sell because it's not the mark of the beast. It's a chip. On and on and on. It's a human number, the number of a man. If you have understanding, you can reckon it. Okay? It's a biometric number. And regardless if you believe the devil's real or not, the point is the globalists are using it as a manifesto, as a system, as a roadmap, as a blueprint. And if you think they wrote this 2,000 years ago to then carry out this plan today, or they're opportunists using this plan, but they looked at it 150 years ago here in the U.S. and also in England, the whole Scofield Bible, and they said, you know what? We had a big problem with Christians leading the war against King George III and Christians saying it's our job to confront evil. Justice be done, may the heavens fall. We're going to go in and teach, lay down, be passive. It's the end of the world. Anytime you're faced with corruption, go along with it. You're going to be raptured out. And now look at Christians. They don't protest abortion. It's God's will. It's almost like a Buddhist or Hindu view. Well, that's just what you deserve. This kid's starving on the streets. I'm not going to help him because it's his karma. And so it's almost like a karma thing now. Just, we just go along with it. By the way, we've got a video coming out tonight at PrisonPlanet.tv and on the YouTube channel where I talk about my disgust for the British royal wedding and how everybody's groveling and worshiping it. This gives sanction to hereditary dictators. I mean, what do you think North Korea is? They have a third generation dictator going in there. Pretty soon he'll start wearing a crown and a little royal purple cape. And if they did, American women would probably fall down and worship them. This is how we're taught to love our servitude. And now it's coming out that dictators from all over the Middle East and Africa, oppressive, torturing murderers, are traveling to be part of the inner circle, disgusting wedding of the prince and princess, who themselves are the hereditary progeny of the most oppressive royal thugs in history. This is diametrically opposed to a free society and every canon of liberty. And there is now a big debate going on. Royal wedding guest list includes friends, family, and a few dictators. And it goes on from there. The king of Bahrain, oh, they've been machine gunning folks. Kuwait, the list goes on and on, Swahili land. Let's go ahead and go to Ben in Tennessee. Ben, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. This stuff I've seen, this article that's been posted on the smartphones and the news that's coming out today, I just had to call in on my smartphone. What I find so diabolical about the system that's been set up by the globalists, this 21st century economy that's been set up, is it's basically impossible to be an independent, self-sufficient, you know, person in the world of commerce without using these devices.
A spider does what? It spins a web designed to do what? To capture you. They want us dependent and domesticated, and globally, with total continuity of agenda, they build this structure. It's a world government. It's now out in the open. And it's not just to track us to keep us safe. It's to track us to then be able to raise taxes and no one can escape it, so they can basically re-engineer society.
Right. And even if people didn't know about the Telecommunications Act of 96, they should have seen this coming down the pike with the warrantless wiretapping that the mass media, who's now slobbering over this royal wedding, covered back, almost 10 years ago when the warrantless wiretapping hit the news. And they should have seen this coming down the pike.
But at first they lied to you and said there's no warrantless wiretapping, while it was in federal law that the backbone and the infrastructure for the wireless wiretapping and the tracking was there by law and being used in court cases for at least 10 years all over the country.
Exactly. And that's what
See, even when something is admitted, you can't, even when they're killing the dollar, can't get the public to admit it. Even when they're spying on you, can't get them to admit it. And then once they admit it, the yuppies go, well, I guess it's good.
Right, exactly. And that's really all I wanted to say. And just keep up the good work, man, and keep up the good fun. Thanks for everything you did.
Thank you, man. Man, all I can do is raise the alarm. I'm a watchman here on the wall. I'm telling you, the enemy's not at the gates. They've blown the gates down and are inside. They've bought off the head of the castle. They've bought off the castle guards. Treason is the great curse. Treason is the plague, as Cicero said. And they understand the limited individual intellect and over the horizon understanding, and they use that knowing that we're atomized and basically isolated, and they're moving to further isolate us because they're predators. The globalists have dominated the planet. They've taken over the planet. They don't need, we're a bother having to feed us. We're a bother having to provide entertainment and jobs for us. We're a bother to them. The globalists don't want to enslave us. They want to get rid of us. Please, folks, many of you are longtime listeners, but a lot of you are enemies. You think the show's funny. I get your emails. I see your comments. You feel like you need to defend the system over the decades. And you really need to get to the point of understanding you're being targeted by this as well. Many of you play the mind game with yourself of knowing there's tyranny afoot, so you decide to make the decision to go with it, like, oh, I'll go with the flow, thinking that that gives you some type of protection. It does not give you protection to lay down to it. There is no quarter with these people. They're not giving us quarter. Don't you understand? For the globalist, world government is only a means to the end. It's only the beginning. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, is free on YouTube. One version of it only has 1,300,000 views. The other, 500,000. You know, a couple others. I mean, total about 2 million views on YouTube. It needs to have 100 million views. Get that video out to everybody or buy the DVD at Infowars.com and support us.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Wayne Madsen stopping through Texas before he leaves the United States due to threats on his safety. investigative journalist, is going to be in studio with us in the next hour. I've got a host of other issues I want to go over. The whole controversy of the royal family inviting all these dictators to the wedding. They are hereditary dictators themselves. That's what they come out of. That's what 1776 was all about, was resisting their tyranny. And that's why the mainstream media turns into this sicky, sweet spectacle, training us to love our servitude. We're going to be getting also with Wayne Madsen, who formerly worked with the NSA, with the fact that the Telecommunications Act on Record says the phones are designed under law. 96 had to be in place by October 1st, 2001 to track everything you do, to listen to you, to track you. It's now mainstream news. I want to get this article out to everybody. Investigation. Government ordered cell phone companies to spy on users. And they go on to admit that for over a decade, this has been going on. Continuing, researchers, Bloomberg reports iPhone location data already used by cops. Apple says, hey, we're just following federal regulations. And they are. But why didn't they complain in 96? Because $9 billion was handed out between 96 and 2001 to the telecommunications giants like AT&T. And that's why Apple did its first three-year rollout of the iPhone only with AT&T. And now under cybersecurity, internet kill switch, internet ID they announced 2 weeks ago, you're going to have a government-issued ID to surf the web. They're admitting this is the takeover of the infrastructure. EAS government alerts, not just on radio and TV, over your smartphone with video, the president popping on, or the head of Homeland Security. You want to get rid of your phone? Well, then you go to Walmart, 800-plus locations, telescreens, now saying spy on your neighbors. Homeland Security now has a TV show with Napolitano in it, how to worship her. Big billboards going up, how to spy. They're now announcing break-ins on Facebook and Twitter with government fear-mongering. That's the new alert system, is tailored alerts just to you. The civilian military force, just as big and just as strong as our military, that Obama talked about in the campaign, we now know that's the TSA on the streets of America, breaking the law, sticking their hands down your pants, spying on you without warrants, illegal, sticking their hands down your pants, illegal. But tyrants know how to set the precedent, and as Cicero said, the traitor is the plague. Now, I wanted to get Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of policy at the Treasury, the father of Reaganomics, best-selling author, syndicated columnist, on with us today because we have the news headlines here. CNBC, don't like a weak dollar, might as well get used to it. So they've gone from denying their dollar devaluation to saying how great it is. China is saying they're getting ready to dump two-thirds of their treasuries. That is, they're going to cut how many they buy by two-thirds. They say they're looking at that. Gold and silver continue their surge. Here's the Market Watch headline, all up on Infowars.com and PresentPlanet.com. Drudge also has it all up at the top. IMF bombshell, age of America nears end. So, I take you now to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, joining us via audio Skype. And I just went over that news, doctor, but before we go any further, I'd first like you to respond to Geithner last week, the head of the Treasury, your counterpart, you know, in basically the same position you were in, saying if you don't give us a higher debt limit, if you don't give us more taxes, you're going to cause the default when it's the policies of dollar devaluation, monetizing debt, correct me if I'm wrong, sir, as a top economist, that is causing the technical default. That's what S&P said. They said the higher debt, the printing of the money, that's what's causing it. That's what's causing oil prices to go up. But no, Geithner says go into more debt with us, showing that driving us into this iceberg is their goal. Dr. Roberts, you heard me just cover that constellation of news. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I can tell you lots of things about it, Alex. Geithner is right. Once you're trapped with a huge and growing budget deficit that you have to finance and there are no takers and you have to print the money, you have to have a rise in the debt ceiling or you do default. So technically he's right, but so are his critics, who are right that you can't print money forever, because by printing the money, you are producing the destruction of the dollar. So it's a situation where both of them are right, and the only way you can do something about it is to cut the federal spending dramatically. And in my opinion, as I've said so many times on your show, they can only do that by stopping the wars and slashing the defense, the so-called defense budget, the military aggression budget, and closing the 700 or more bases that they have all over the world. In other words, the United States cannot afford its goal of world hegemony. And that is now what the IMF has made clear. The IMF says that in 5 years, the Chinese economy will have surpassed the American economy. I've also, on your show for a number of years, been pointing out that that was exactly where we were headed. Because when you offshore your jobs in the interest of short-term profits, you are, in effect, giving up your economy. You are taking what was your gross domestic product and giving it to the country where you offshore the jobs. As Ralph Gomery put it, what we've done is traded jobs for short-term profits. The jobs have moved to China. This capability then to produce erodes in the United States. It grows in China. And this is why we are becoming more and more polarized between a very small, very rich class and growing poverty everywhere else, the erosion of the middle class. Because the people who get the profits are very different from the people who lost the wages when the jobs were moved offshore. So the corporations, driven by Wall Street, have essentially destroyed the American economy. And that is now no longer a secret, the IMF itself, and which surprised me, because the IMF, in my opinion, which may be mistaken, has always been an agent of American policy. And yet here they are telling the truth. Now, I'll say one other thing. I think this puts the Libyan situation in the right perspective, because the United States, realizing finally that it is being surpassed by China, that is the guys in Washington, are now trying to deny the Chinese resources the way the United States and Britain did to Japan in the 1930s, thus creating World War II in the Pacific. So what the Libya thing is about is canceling out China's economic penetration of Africa, canceling out China's massive energy investments in eastern Libya, by overthrowing the regime and thereby eliminating China from the Mediterranean. So you can see the same sort of power play that backfired against the Japanese and resulted in Pearl Harbor now being employed against the Chinese in Libya. And it will also be used against the Chinese in Angola and Nigeria, where they also have energy investments. And this also puts Syria in perspective, because the Russians have a massive naval base in Syria that they are in the process of renovating and are going to keep very large warships there, including aircraft carriers. And so it becomes imperative to overthrow the Syrian regime in order to get Russia out of the Mediterranean as well. So I see all of this leading to a massive war.
You see all of this leading towards the first great war of the 21st century?
As Gerald Celente says, right.
Now, going back, and then we'll expand into the geopolitical realm that you just got into. Going back to Geithner, though, my issue of him being deceptive is he expanded saying, basically, keep the policies we've got in place of the spending, of the bureaucracy, raise the taxes, and that would basically fix the problem, when they know full well that's what's caused the problem, and that they do not want the type of cuts to be made that are needed. And so clearly, the private shareholders of the Federal Reserve want to vertically consolidate the economy. You look at the General Electrics and others paying almost no tax because they position themselves. This is the classic game, like they use in Mexico or in other third world countries, where the wealthy use economic deprivation as a political tool to suppress the system. Wants a post-industrial world. That's been stated by the UN. That's Goldman Sachs pays all this money to promote the carbon taxes. I mean, they want this system where the crony, non-free market, fascist capitalist, if you can call them that, are waging war against the free market. And, of course, examples of that, Dr. Roberts, are Obama supporters. They get waivers to not have to buy the health care. Or Obama supporters get to be on the Economic Council and not pay taxes. This is really a criminal looting. And my point is, they consciously know what they're doing. They've consciously put the derivatives in place, gutted the economy, moved the jobs overseas with companies they control and dominate, positioned the police state ahead of the social unrest. I mean, you've talked a lot about how they're just madmen and out of control. I see total precision in what they've set up and deployed.
Well, I know you do, Alex, and that's where we don't agree, because they don't have anything to gain by destroying their own economic base. I see it differently. They are, ever since the Clinton administration, Wall Street has become more and more powerful. I mean, we had a lot of trouble with them in the Reagan administration, but they weren't able to dominate. But now they do. You know, ever since the Clinton administration, Goldman Sachs has run the Treasury, and they run the Fed and the New York Fed, and they are very short-term in their outlook, and their short-term outlook is this quarter's profits, next quarter's profits, because those things determine the huge bonuses that are making them all richer and richer and richer, and that's their perspective. They have nothing to gain from destroying the economic base. But the consequence of their short-run view, as Gomery says, is to trade jobs for profit at the expense of the economic capability of the economy. So you can say, well, they won't care because they'll all be mega billionaires and we'll have put the money into some other currency or to gold or into foreign assets or something. But the reason they're doing it is just simply short-term profits, greed. The deregulation that enabled them also began in the Clinton administration.
Glass-Steagall.
That was a very important part of it, yes. But so was the when they blocked the Commodity Futures Trading Corporation from regulating derivatives. You know, that was Greenspan and Larry Summers and I think Rubin. They blocked the regulation of derivatives. They also took off the position limits on speculators.
That's right. Now they can do unlimited naked shorts and manipulate the markets.
And that's right. So all of this doesn't... It's a form of suicide for them as well, because in the end, there's nothing. And certainly, when we see a situation where the IMF says that the age of America is nearing an end, that means the dollar's role as reserve currency is nearing its end, and that means they won't be able to finance the deficit, even by monetizing it. So we're running out of time, and as long as war is so important to them for the profits of the military security complex and the neoconservative ideology of American world hegemony.
Sure.
As long as you have that driving the wars, they cannot get the budget under control.
All right, Dr. Roberts, I want to speak to that and then get back into the geopolitical that you were mentioning earlier. But I think there's a paradox here only in semantics. Yes, it's greed. Yes, it's avarice. Yes, it's chutzpah, bravada, whatever you want to call it. The point is, the end result is going to be the same. My point is that with megalomania, with Hitler turning east against the Russians, Napoleon doing the same thing, we know that these people get so confident. The only thing that stays the same, you know, in history is the arrogance of elites. And we're seeing that again. But regardless, they believe they have a strategy and a deceptive stratagem to get away with this. And as the Rand Corporation said 2 years ago, it is a wider war along the order of World War II size is what they called for to get Americans so desperate in a depression, stage terror attacks, whatever's needed, and then launch huge regional wars that then do escalate. And so my point is that Wall Street was green-lighted to do this because there was a larger plan, kind of like Rothschild in 1815, you know, knowing that Napoleon had lost, getting his runners back across the channel in those corvettes and getting back over and saying the British had lost. He buys up the market, then takes over the British Empire. If we look at this as the American government doesn't know what it's doing, I tend to agree with you. But the Wall Street brains in there, they fully know what they're doing.
Well, I don't think they do, because they have no way to pay for these wars, and the deficit is already can't be financed. And we've had a whole range of foreign currencies, including even the Russian ruble, making new highs repeatedly against the dollar for the last 4 months. New highs in gold and silver. You cannot finance all these wars when you already have $1.5 trillion annual deficits that you're already printing money to cover. And so there's no way out of this except failure, collapse.
Well, let's break down then.
Nothing to buy up.
Sure, I understand. Let's break that down when we come back, Dr. Roberts. As a top economist, how you see this going from bad to worse. As you said, no way out. We'll be right back. From bad to worst. I feel like we should be, you know, playing some type of funeral pyre procession music for the Republic, for America maneuvered into this. Dr. Roberts, and if you've got to go, I understand. I'd like to keep you 5 minutes the next hour, then Wayne Madsen's coming in, so we at least have two short segments to break this down. The technicals of what's happened to the dollar, the move towards the exits accelerating, what will it mean as the dollar begins to die as the world reserve currency? And is there any way out of this? I mean, obviously the policymakers are full steam ahead, but is there any way out?
Well, not given their arrogance and their hubris, as you so aptly describe them. Theoretically, there's a way out. You would have to stop the wars, gut the defense budget, close the bases. And you would also have to change the way you tax corporations. I've explained this before on your show. They would have to tax corporations according to where value is added to their products, so that if they are producing offshore for American markets, they would have an extremely high tax rate. But if they produce at home with the American labor force for American markets, they would have a low tax rate. That would negate the advantage of the low labor cost. Now, what's also going to negate that advantage is when the Chinese finally give up their currency peg to the dollar, because that's really what protects the dollar. It's the currency peg that China does. The day the China gives that up and their currency rises dramatically against the dollar, then that will also show the world that the dollar is not the reserve currency, that it's weak and getting weaker. And the day the Chinese decide to put pressure on Washington by threatening to sell their huge holding, dollar holdings, that also will show that there's not really the superpower role anymore, that its creditors have more power than it does because of its very poor economic position. So things can happen, and things could happen, but the hubris will prevail, in my opinion. I think something else could happen shortly. The Federal Reserve could announce that, okay, we'll have no quantitative easing 3. And then, given the idiots in the markets, they would all say, oh, great, they're not going to buy any more bonds, print any more dollars, so the dollar is going to be strong again. And that could cause the gold and silver markets to collapse temporarily, because they obviously have to continue quantitative easing, as there's no other way to finance the deficit, as they're making no cuts in the spending. In fact, the places they identify for cuts, like Medicare, Social Security, this would simply impoverish the population further and further shrink consumer demand and produce yet larger budget deficits that would have to be financed by printing more money. So they're in an impossible situation.
It's the austerity trap, and then if we lose the AAA rating, the debt costs even more and the interest rates go up.
Of course, right. And the AAA rating is a hoax already. So it's the reason that the government can survive is that it still has the dollar as reserve currency, and it can pay its bills by printing its own money. That's a very difficult thing for most countries in the world to do. They simply can't do that. And so when they destroy the dollar, which is what they're doing, it's happening every week.
Stay there. Do 5 more minutes with us. Describe what happens when they kill the dollar, how you see that death happening.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts with us for another 5 minutes. Okay, Mr. Roberts, you were getting into when the dollar dies. Does it die a slow death, or does it die with a bang? I mean, it's already dying slowly, but then like an old horse with its legs broken, you know, at some point, does somebody put a bullet in its head? Because the Chinese are actually in the news today talking about massively decreasing how many treasury bills they buy.
Yes, it's dying slowly, but when the final death comes, it'll probably be very quickly and very severe. And what Americans will experience will be an amazing jump in the measured rate of inflation. And they'll go into Walmart, as I've said before, and they'll think they're in Neiman Marcus, because today so much of the goods that Americans buy are made offshore, and their price is low because of the Chinese pegged to the dollar. And so once that comes unglued, the prices will be very high. In fact, Walmart announced, the CEO announced a week or two ago that because of the dollar's decline so far, Walmart's customers were going to experience serious price rises, that they had held the prices down as much as they could, but that the collapse in the dollar's value was forcing them into price rises, and that they would not be able to avoid these. So that'll start happening more and more and become faster and more furious. So,
by the way, McDonald's came out over the weekend and said inflation's going to make their food go up.
Well, you know, the World Bank released a report recently that wheat prices have more than doubled between June of 2010 and January of this year. Corn prices have gone up more than 70%. and that this is producing massive hunger and starvation elsewhere in the world. And this, of course, is because all of these things are priced in dollars, and the Federal Reserve is destroying the dollar, the budget deficits are destroying the dollar, the offshoring of jobs are destroying the dollar. And so the cost is being delivered to the entire world. There are now tens or millions of people now are starving.
And we knew, I mean, it's common sense that this QE2 would do this. And they said, oh, that's ridiculous. And now it's here. And finally, the mainstream media is admitting, hey, your oil prices are up, not just because of speculators they always blame, but mainly because of dollar devaluation. How are they going to handle this politically? I guess you answer the question, start a new war.
Well, I think they'll be forced into a war because Washington won't be able to accept that it's been dethroned by its own folly and stupidity. And when the rest of the world starts pushing back, they'll still think they're tough guys and that we're a superpower. And so I think that we may be faced with a nuclear war and just the end of everything. I mean, this is how it's likely to end. Given the fact that the people in Washington are incompetent, crazed, inhumane, they have no redeeming virtues, and they're playing God with the world.
Wow.
And that's what's going on. I mean, the danger of a nuclear war is huge, because just as a Japanese...
Doctor, I got to stop you right there. I don't mean to keep you more, because I've got another guest coming in, but this is Cliffhanger. You start talking about the danger of nuclear war, and you're a very conservative, focused, respectist, you know, listed as top in the top 10 economists in the world. Will you come back and spend 4 or 5 minutes breaking down the geopolitical front and how this could lead to nuclear war? Can you stay with us?
Okay,
stay there. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Wayne Madsen will be with you, but when we come back, we'll finish up with this. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, riding shotgun with us for the rest of the hour here in studio is Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com. Here in studio with us today and tomorrow, he'll be popping in. We're doing interviews with him for a upcoming documentary. But we've been talking to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, and he was going to be gone at the end of the last hour, but he just brought up his prognosis that the hubris and the runaway train that is the American empire, if you study history with Hitler or Mussolini or countless others, they will start wars. And actually, that's what the Rand Corporation and others say is what's needed to get the globalists out of this crisis. You know, they're attempting to get total power out of their power grab, but in the process, they're destroying the dollar that has been the source of their global hegemony. So in just a few minutes, Dr. Robertson, will let you go, former head of Policy Department of Treasury, best-selling author, syndicated columnist, coming out with a bold statement like that, that you believe this will probably lead towards major war and perhaps nuclear war. Break down the technicals of that geopolitical statement.
Well, Alex, it's hard to do in such a short time, but look at it this way. What are the guys in Washington, what have they done? They've destroyed the economy. They've destroyed the currency. They've destroyed people's incomes. In the first decade of the 21st century, they had two massive stock market collapses, from which retirees have never recovered their assets. They destroyed, with a bubble, they bid up real estate prices, and then they've destroyed the real estate market. There's a massive wipeout of people's ability to look after themselves at home. And the government is overcommitted militarily abroad. We've got six wars going, either involving our troops or proxies or drones or airstrikes. These are all very expensive. None of them are affordable. And they're trying now to deny China resources. That's what Libya is all about. They're threatening Russia's national security. That's what Syria is all about, the big Russian naval base.
That's what 888 was about when they launched the attack on the Georgian areas.
Exactly. And so here you have a weak, declining country becoming more and more aggressive toward China, a very strong rising country, and toward Russia, which has an unlimited supply of nuclear weapons. So how much will China and Russia tolerate? I mean, at some point, given the hubris and the lack of judgment in Washington, they're going to cross the line, and they're going to push too hard. And there's going to be a response, and it's very easy for things to escalate, particularly when your own rulers are crazed. I mean, there's nobody in Washington that's sane, is there? I mean, what you show every day, the absurd statements, the insane behavior, the lack of concern, not just for American people, but for people anywhere. There's no concern in Washington for people.
In closing, let me ask you that. I mean, they've got the TSA coming out as a domestic police force. They now admit that they've been surveilling everybody without wiretaps, totally illegal. The TSA sticking their hands down people's pants. Just 20 years ago, they wouldn't let troops use DU. Now they use it at shooting ranges, at National Guard bases, destroying the water table. There's no safety standards now. I mean, it is really just a hubris-driven insanity. They delusionally think they have a plan, but across the board, take Bloomberg last year reporting that 11 years ago they signed secret deals, the VA did, to take the death benefits from World War II vets through current vets. I mean, this is criminality so naked. It's almost like when psychopaths in criminology have killed 15, 20 people, and they start getting more reckless, almost like they want to get caught. Your closing comments on that?
Well, what hasn't the government destroyed? They've even destroyed our civil liberties. We now have an executive, that is, the president, who's not accountable to law as long as he can be at war. So, you know, and there's no democracy. It's an oligarchy. There's five or six very powerful oligarchic interests that essentially rule. So everything's destroyed. It's not just the economy. And so you're right. You're absolutely right. And sooner or later, the people will be alienated from the government. I don't know how long people... Look, we have a worse situation than Big Brother in George Orwell's book, 1984, than those people living under. We're dominated by propaganda, by lies, by unaccountable government. Elections are pointless. Nothing ever changes. The political system is essentially impotent.
And that has fed their hubris to the point of like a snake eating its tail. They're now even destroying themselves. And in closing, remember that quote of Karl Rove to the New York Times reporter at a cocktail party in front of a Washington Post reporter, and the reporter's going, come on, you know you're lying about WMDs. You know, I mean, this is becoming delusional. And Rove said, you don't get it. We're history's actors now. Of course we're not following reality. You guys are what we call the reality-based community, but we control reality, so we'll change reality day to day, and then you will report on that new reality dutifully. There is the statement that shows that they believe because they have the power that they have the power to do anything. And it reminds me of Hitler in his bunker directing armies that didn't exist.
You're right, Alex. Except we're all going to pay the price for this handful of fools. They're destroying all of us, and people all over the world are being destroyed. So, you know.
When does the dollar die? And we'll let you go. We appreciate your time. When does the dollar die?
It's dying now. It's dying right now. It's been dying for months, for years, actually. But if you look at the number of other currencies that have made new highs against the dollar the last 4 months, look, even the euro is making new highs. And the euro, despite the sovereign debt crisis in Europe and all the countries that are allegedly bankrupt.
So it's like a cancer patient who's been sick for a while, but now the patient's having trouble breathing.
That's about it, yeah.
All right, Dr. Roberts, you've been right all along, and history will know that you told the truth and stood up for what was right. I hope that people in government and the general public listening realize that it's not enough for you and I to be here telling the truth. They've got to get this information out to everybody. I am seeing some positive signs in Neocon Talk Radio. They're now more and more, saying both parties are bad and that, you know, inside interest in Wall Street are greedy and wrecking everything. Because I think a lot of mainline people who thought they were part of the establishment are beginning to realize that their necks are on the chopping block as well. Maybe self-preservation will get some of these yuppies out of their la-la land.
Well, we can hope so.
All right. Sir, your book is How the Economy Was Lost, The War of the Worlds, available at better bookstores and Amazon.com. Dr. Roberts, thanks for the time.
Pleased to be with you, Alex.
Thank you, sir. There he goes. It's like going to visit the doctor, and we have all these top economists and Nobel Prize winners on, and you name it, and they all tell you the same thing. And Obama says everything's great, the economy's wonderful, everything's fine. The Republicans will not tell you it's the Federal Reserve, except for Ron Paul and Rand Paul. They will not tell you it's a debt black hole impossible to get out of, designed to do this to us. And Robert's point is it so destructive, even though it gave the bankers incredible power, what are they going to spend the money on when everything's like Zimbabwe? If we have a Great Depression like we had in the 20s and 30s, it will be road warrior. And here's the deal. The economic atmosphere, the economic climate we're in is much worse than leading up to 29. Okay, and I'm not trying to scare you. We're going to do some overdrive a little bit in the next hour because while he's here, I want to spend as much time with him as possible. And also, while we're at it live on air, let's look at the schedule. When can we get Wayne back in here for a full hour tomorrow? When I heard that Wayne Madsen was going to be leaving the United States because of a foreign embassy, a major media outlet, and a confirmation through the source in the U.S. embassy that the White House wants him dead. And Wayne, of course, formerly with the NSA, syndicated columnist, very well respected, written some of the biggest publications in the country. When he brings something out like that, we certainly respect it. He, of course, is one of the guys meeting with the D.C. madam and helped get her on the show right before she was suicided, Arkansided. And so Wayne is here with us today and tomorrow before he gets ready to leave the United States to work on his magnum opus exposing the CIA ties of Barack Obama, WayneMadsenReport.com. Wayne, great to have you here with us today.
Good to be with you here in Austin, Alex.
We're honored to have you. We're going to break here in a moment, and I want to get into your research on the CIA and birth certificate issues that are really heating up. But Dr. Paul Craig Roberts was talking about the fact that the dollar is doomed and that the elites running things are crazy. You've lived in D.C. for decades. I mean, is there a method to their madness, or has it gone to just pure hubris?
I think we haven't seen anything like this before in D.C., because even the word coming out of the Treasury Department, now I'm not talking about the senior officials, but those people that work in the bowels of the place, is not encouraging. And you hear the same thing in Congress. And the news out that the U.S. economy will be eclipsed by China in 2016, I think it's clearly the writing is on the wall what's going to happen to us and our economy. It's happening right now. Of course, to listen to Obama, things.
We've had two Fed heads, Kansas City and Dallas, say we are completely screwed.
Well, right. And this is
and they've said the Fed is doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a rebellion in the Fed like that.
Right, right. So, you know, even they're eating their own dead here now.
Well, they wouldn't do that unless they knew it was dire.
Right. And the word has been coming out of Treasury for a couple of years now about where this economy is heading and where the dollar is heading.
I mean, is it like the Russians before their collapse where they're just delusional?
Well, when you see this push now, remember what happened to Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union? They privatized all those state-owned industries, and now we see this push to do this in the various states.
Let's talk about the method of the madness, because I agree with your analysis. I mean, it is wild what they're doing, but they've planned this, just like we're a third-world country. Wayne, stay there. Break down what they did in the Soviet Union when it collapsed, what they're going to do here. And by the way, if you're in the middle class, that means you make more than $50,000 a year. They're going to rob you. Must be some kind of way out of here.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Wayne Madsen. There's too much confusion, my friend. But you know, for those that research this information, there's really not confusion. There's just befuddled amazement at what the system is doing and how crazy they are. Now you were getting into the parallel between the collapse of the Soviet system and the robber barons, the oligarchs coming in, and what's being set up and planned here. The solution by the Republicans is a form of austerity that doesn't fix the Federal Reserve root of it. It just simply privatizes the system. Break that down.
Well, if you look across the country, what's happening, we see further privatization of turnpikes, for example, going to private companies to collect tolls. Everyone should always be worried when a cash-intensive operation is privatized. It's a recipe for money laundering on a grand scale.
Well, they beef the prices. They lobby to not fix the other roads. They take over existing roads.
Right. The roads, we see the now with privatization, possibly of public lands, state-owned forests, state-owned parks. It goes on and on.
The old-timers said that in the mid-90s was going to happen for collateral on the debt. Now they admit, just like we're a third-world country, that's happening.
So we're, you know, what's going to happen next? Are we going to see corporate sponsorship like all these sports arenas of, you know, federal monuments sponsored by various oil companies and banks and what have you? That may be around the corner.
Well, it's like the 600 plus Greek islands. One big broker they owed $3 billion to through fraud. He said, I'll just take that famous island, and they transferred it to him directly.
Right. Well, they might, maybe they'll grab Hawaii or something here soon. And just put it up on the auction block. But I think this just goes to show that the people who are benefiting from this. I should have also mentioned what's happening to public education. You got the Washington Post, 70% of their business is from a private education firm that they own, Kaplan Business. Now we see moves to try to privatize public education. The camels with the nose under the tent is private, you know, charter schools, magnet schools. It's really just another word, set of words for privatization.
And the Washington, which are really corporate schools. Those aren't private schools now. They're Bill and Melinda Gates schools, which is what Tarpley and others said Obama's specialty was in Chicago, is actually union busting, but not to get rid of the corrupt unions, to transfer it to the corporations.
And Rahm Emanuel is brought in as the Chicago head of the school board, one of these people who favors that. So we're going to see that continue in Chicago, in Washington, D.C. Arnie Duncan, the Secretary of Education, one of Obama's basketball buddies, is strong for this. And I say the Washington Post can't even cover this adequately or properly because they own a private education firm.
That's right. We're going to break here in a few minutes, but let's get started now. You've got some big news dealing on them trying to rewrite the history of Obama's family and all these intelligence agency connections, because your research just isn't into the birth certificate, a lot of it now being duplicated and expanded on by Jerome Corsi, but also into his CIA connections.
Well, especially his passport records and what he was doing when he was supposedly at Columbia and Occidental and potentially at Harvard Law. Right now, we've got an article that came out in the New York Times Magazine, written by Janie Scott, who's got a book coming out about Obama's mother. The thing, they're changing the facts. She even had an interview with Obama in the Oval Office, but we're being told things that just did not occur. They are changing the facts. They're changing Wikipedia as we speak.
New York Magazine is basically a Cass Sunstein organ more and more.
Oh, I think so. This is New York Times, what we have is Lolo Sartori, the stepfather's history being revised. We have Stanley Ann Dunham's history being revised. We have the history of Indonesia prior to and after the 1965 coup against President Sukarno also being revised. This is happening in plain sight. And we're supposed to believe that this New York Times reporter got the interview with Obama in the Oval Office, spoke to all these people who knew the family without any independent corroboration of that. So I think this is a huge, they're obviously preparing for this to be raised in the election campaign, and this is sort of like a preemptive move on their part.
And that's more evidence of the guilt. If it had no proof behind it, they would have released the original certificate, not the receipt. They would have dispelled all this early on. But all of his records are kept very, very secret.
Especially the area that there's seems to be a lot of reluctance to go after. And remember, the passport file was being rifled through. in January of 08, at the right in the primary season, we had John Brennan's company, the Analysis Corporation. He's now Obama's deputy national security advisor. They were the ones committing the act of rifling through the passport file. I think they were trying to get remove information. We know that Stanley and Dunham's passport file prior to 68 was inadvertently destroyed, we're told. So I think what we have here...
Stay there. Tell us what we have on the other side. Let's go into it in detail.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Well, amazing to have Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com in studio with us. We're going to be going at least 20 minutes of overdrive into the next hour. We're going to clear the phone system out and open the phones up specifically if you have a question or a comment for Wayne Madsen coming up at the start of the next segment into the next hour. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Okay, Wayne, you know, we got Jerome Corsi being put on house arrest when he tried to go over to Kenya a few years ago. You've got the records now. He's reported in Indonesia, Kenya, Hawaii. They're all destroyed. They're all missing. Governor Abercrombie said 4 months ago when he was governor-elect, oh, I'm going to get into those records. He went and said, okay, the original birth certificate isn't there. But it's not just that. It's his whole background. You were getting into them trying to basically rewrite history right now. They are really, really scared of this. Sure, Obama's a teleprompter reading puppet, but if he gets politically damaged, that will damage everything he's done.
Well, I think it's interesting what we know. Some of the tidbits that came out in this article in New York Times Magazine that we did not know before. We found out that when Obama was a young boy living in Jakarta, he said he wanted to be the future prime minister of Indonesia. He also said he wanted to be president of the United States at some point in time. But I would imagine you could not be the prime minister of Indonesia unless you were somehow, you knew that you were an Indonesian citizen.
Well, he changed his name to Barry Satoro.
Barry Hussein Satoro. We're also now told that Lolo Satoro, according to this, this article in the New York Times, that Lolo Satoro worked not as a government relations person for Mobil Oil, which we were told he did as sort of like payback for the work he did to help install Suharto with the CIA coup. Now we're told he worked for Unocal, Union Oil of California. So that's changed. We've got this report from somebody who was in Indonesia at the same time Stanley Ann Dunham, the mother, was there, saying, "Oh, in the late '60s and the early '70s, Indonesia was like they called it the Indonesian Prague Spring. It was a honeymoon. There was freedom of the press, and student groups were had a lot." Where are they getting this stuff from? Suharto was a brutal dictator. He was a brutal dictator up until he left office. Basically, he was responsible for the brutal invasion and occupation of East Timor in 1975.
Mass murders, mass executions.
So this is all being rewritten to make it look like the time that Stanley Ann Dunham was in Indonesia, there was this Prague Spring and she was this head-banded hippie running around throwing flowers at everybody, when in fact she was pinpointing people for the Indonesian army to go out and massacre who were suspected of being communists or anti-regime. That's what she was
doing. She was posing as a leftist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
that's why you're getting the threats through the State Department and a foreign embassy and a major publication, because they're concerned about, there's smoke, then there's fire with the birth certificate, but it's really this intelligence background they're worried about.
Absolutely. I think this is the thing that can sink them. I think this can open up the door. If Obama traveled to Pakistan in 1981 on an Indonesian passport, if he had an Indonesian passport, he had already committed himself to fealty to another sovereign He cannot be the president of the United States. I know there's people with dual passports, but let's look at the fact that he supposedly goes to Occidental on a foreign student scholarship program that was only available to foreign students. So we see if
when you give up your citizenship, because a lot of countries don't let you have dual. Indonesia, you have to give it up. He gave it up.
He would have had to give it up, right? Indonesia does not permit dual citizenship. And so we have an issue here. And you know,
by the way, I hope folks know, I mean, you're a serious journalist who's never said you've been death threatened before. You've been told, I mean, what you're doing is dangerous right now. Just like when I had the D.C. madam on the show a few months before they killed her, and we talked to her landlord at the condo or the manager. She said, they're following me. I got to get these papers to my mom's. He sent me copies of release. It was not her handwriting. She said on air, no, I'll never kill myself. I mean, they killed her. I hope people know you're risking your life with what you're doing right now.
Well, this is an important story, and I think the White House is somewhat comfortable with the birth certificate story because they know that there's all these dead ends there. But I think that it's the passports, it's Obama's past in Indonesia, and what he did when he's ostensibly at Columbia, Occidental, and Harvard that really, and also when he was supposedly a community organizer, not he wasn't. He was obviously informing on some of the black groups in Chicago at the time, the El Rukin Gang, the Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam. He was plopped in there. Those people in South Chicago did not trust. I've spoken to them. They did not trust Obama. He was just a little too cool for them.
That's right. You spent a lot of time in Chicago.
Absolutely. And I've had discussions with people who work with the Nation of Islam, work for the Black Panther Party, knew the guy that ran the El Rukin Gang. And look, the El Rukins at the time, when he plopped in there in 86 from that CIA job in Manhattan, this was at the height of the, you look at the Chicago Tribune. El Rukin Gang thought to be doing a deal, you know, getting a deal with Gaddafi to get shoulder-launched missiles to shoot down planes at O'Hare. Now we see Obama's attacking Libya. Is this score settling? Is this somebody that he had a problem with way back then because he was looking at these groups in Chicago and their potential links or alleged links to Gaddafi? It looks like maybe we see a little bit of score settling here, a la George W. Bush with Saddam Hussein.
Well, they're definitely scared of this whole intelligence minion background. And we know these agencies mainly were a recruit for higher level positions out of families. Go over the basic spectrum of the intelligence background connections in his family.
Well, let's start with his grandparents. Stanley Armour Dunham, his grandfather, ostensibly was in World War II, was in France, comes back to the United States and works for a series of furniture stores in Oklahoma, in Kansas, and in Washington State, and then he all of a sudden goes to work for one in Hawaii. You could maybe see that with chain furniture stores, but let's look at the time frame. He was going from one store to another. They were not part of like the Levitt's furniture chain. This looks like a military transfer, but I would suggest it was an intelligence agency transfer from place to place. He doesn't show up in Washington State until 1956 with the daughter. Obama's mother is enrolled in high school there. The word is that potentially he and his wife, Madeline Dunham, were working for the Office of Strategic Services in Beirut starting in 42 until about 56. We know that things were getting dicey in Lebanon. 1958, President Eisenhower sent the Marines in there, stormed ashore, occupied the country for about a year. So it would make sense for them to get their daughter out of there, to get the agents who had families out of country. Shows up in Seattle and Mercer Island, and then a few years later, boom, he pops up as a furniture store salesman in Honolulu. That Pratt Furniture, by the way, only exists in corporate records. It was not a brick and mortar store in Honolulu. There's no record of a Pratt.
His cover is a furniture salesman.
Absolutely, and he wouldn't be the only one. We all know Julia Child worked for the OSS and CIA before she went to work for the OSS during World War II. She worked for a furniture store in Manhattan. So this is seems to be fairly standard, kind of odd. Why furniture stores? Maybe it's because they move large amounts of goods.
It's also nondescript. It doesn't really ring a bell.
Yes.
People know to watch journalists and nature photographers and Christian groups of mercenaries. They don't think about furniture. But then we get into other parts of the family. It's on record. They're working for high-powered groups.
All right, and let's look at the CIA's use of anthropologists. His mother, ostensibly an anthropologist.
That's one of their favorite because they go into the most rural areas.
Absolutely. Now that's called the human terrain system, which they send these people out to basically just parse people, different tribes, ethnic groups, for targeting purposes, for
if they ever need to play people off against each other, they've already got
them. Absolutely,
the
and this has been gone on for a long time. It was done with the OSS. By the way, we get to the OSS during World War II. An OSS agent also worked for British intelligence, who was an anthropologist, worked extensively in South America. His last name was Clothier. He was from the Strawbridge and Clothier department store family in Philadelphia. So here we get back to the stores, the merchandise activities again. Another one was connected to the Lothrop family that ran Woodward and Lothrop department store in Washington. So there seems to be
Well, that goes back to the Dutch and British East India Company, where they had their intelligence officers on the trading ships. That was their entree into the interiors of what South America, Central America, Africa, Asia, Dutch East Indies.
Absolutely. We have people going out to purchase, obviously, goods to be sold in these stores in the United States. It's great cover, and it seems like OSS and CIA used that to a great extent. So the idea that Stanley Armour Dunham's cover was a furniture store guy, salesman, is not all that bizarre. It seems, at first glance, it looks bizarre.
But we see how he's all over the world. Continue.
All over the world. Also, the reports that he may have taken Obama's mother to Cuba at the onset of the Cuban Revolution, circa 1960.
Wow, continue with the rest of the family.
Okay, we have Madeline Dunham, the grandmother, one of the first female vice presidents of the Bank of Hawaii. Unbelievable rise for somebody where we still had the glass ceiling and management positions for many women. She rises to vice president. She's in charge of escrow accounts for the Bank of Hawaii. Clearly, the Bank of Hawaii was used by several CIA front activities as a pass-through to pay off various dictators. During her entire time at the Bank of Hawaii, we had the Nguyen Han Bank, which was a CIA front, that replaced by another operation in Honolulu after Nguyen Han collapsed. These were CIA activities, and the Bank of Hawaii was facilitating, and she was right in the middle of it all.
It's like pre-BCCI, and we know the history of the banks you just mentioned. Continue.
We have now Lolo Satoru. His history is being reinvented in this New York Times piece. Lolo Satoru marries Obama's mother in March of 1965. In May of 65, he's called back because he's a reserve officer in the Indonesian Army. Suharto wants to get all these reservists back to help plan the coup. In the article in the New York Times, it states that Lolo Satoru was called back and conscripted in the military. Now, conscripted means to go in as an enlisted man, and that they were sent to fight rebels in West New Guinea, getting him out of Java entirely, where, of course, Obama's mother shows up in 1967. Then they're painting this whole thing that, Suharto comes in and he creates this sort of Indonesian Prague Spring. This is fake history. This did not happen. We look at...
If you were a communist or a liberal, they hunted you down and blew your head off.
There are about 800,000 to a million people were killed there. Ethnic Chinese, too, because...
And it turns out that's Obama's dad's specialty in Africa, is posing as a commie and finding the folks to wipe
out.
And then it's Obama's specialty. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right. Well, we have Barack Sr., of course, who comes over. The thing that's common is the East-West Center at the University of Hawaii, a CIA front known to be Lolo Satoru, Barack Obama Sr., both at that East-West Center, known to be a CIA front. He sent eventually back to Kenya to try to get him into the Kenyan government because he's the wrong tribe. He's in a significant minority tribe, but not the dominant tribe. He does not get in to be the finance minister. So here we have Obama, President Obama, saying he wanted to be prime minister of Indonesia. Had his father, or his alleged father, become, say, the president of Kenya, Barack Obama, our president, could very well be the president of Kenya today. Certainly the son...
The point is, they were positioning him all over. Absolutely. He was like a skeleton key.
Absolutely. So, you know, what country do you want to be leader of, President Obama? It sounds like you had three shots at being president of some country. Prime Minister of Indonesia, president of Kenya, potentially, but now president of the United States.
And the intelligence connections continue. I've read connections with his father in Kenya to British intel. We know they were all over Kenya.
Well, we see the father brought over in 1960 on the Airlift Africa project. That was an attempt to try to compete with the Soviet Union that created the People's Friendship University in Moscow. In 1961, they renamed that Patrice Lumumba University because the CIA knocked him off in Congo that year. So we see Barack Sr. coming over. Over on the CIA funded, they even got some money from the Joseph Kennedy Foundation to help with that. So we see him coming in, but then that marriage, you know, fritters away. It looks like Barack Obama's mother was actually being introduced by the father, her father, to all these potential third world leaders, movers and shakers. I mean, what kind of father would basically have...
What do they call those? Honeypot, a swallow?
Yeah, well, honeypot, but he's, you know, his daughter's like 18 years old, and he's introducing her to all these people from these various, Barack Sr. certainly, and she gets pregnant, and...
That's like Clinton's mother was an admitted prostitute.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you got kind of wonder what kind of family was this to, you know, especially, and of course, the big thing is Barack Sr. and Dunham meet at a Russian language class at the University of Hawaii in 1960. Now, who's taking Russian during the height of the Cold War? You know, this is at the height of the U-2 situation, and, it's Eisenhower transitioning to Kennedy. It's the height of the Cold War.
It just goes on for hours, all the intelligence connections.
Absolutely. You can keep peeling back this onion, and you'll still find more connections. And, you can go back to the Bush family, and obviously, yeah, we know George H.W. Bush was CIA director. We know he was in Dallas during Kennedy.
It's now been declassified. He was in the CIA before he said he was.
Absolutely.
They didn't just make him director.
Right. But we kind of knew that from documents that finally. But with Obama, we have all these gaping holes. It's like.
Well, see, that's that left cover. I mean, when it comes out, he's CIA.
Yeah.
That is going to really destroy the myth of the messianic, little surfer boy.
Oh, absolutely. This whole idea that, again, in the New York Times article, they say that the Obamas, or the Satoros, were living in a very poor neighborhood. They had to hunt wild boar to get something on the table. They lived in the Mentang district, which at the time was the brand new diplomatic kind of compound for the diplomats and the high-level government officials. What are they talking about?
Poverty? So they've got the Swiss Family Robinson thing going for them.
Yeah.
Why don't they just say he came from Krypton and landed in a flying saucer?
I think he's even joked about that himself.
We do have a clip of that.
it's just amazing to see how the New York Times and the White House are working together to rewrite his history.
And that's why you were told, or you're guessing that's why you're getting threats from the White House.
I assume because there some the initial threat was passed to me by an allied nation, but it was in Asia, and it's a country that keeps a close eye on Indonesia. So they know what's going on there. They keep their ears open. And also, it was confirmed to me by an Indonesian source who talked to a State Department official here that, he's marked. There are Indonesian connections to the threats, or at least Asian connections, and in one case, specifically Indonesian threat.
So they're really worried about you getting over to Indonesia. We'll be right back, folks. This is very important information. See, they kept Obama's CIA pedigree secret. And so when it comes out that the intelligence agencies aren't just putting British prime ministers in, but they're putting American presidents in, that's something they're not ready to deal with. And we only went over a little bit of the history of it. It's 100% that he was at least handled and groomed and protected, and they're lying about his real records and covering those up. Wayne's going to be back in studio with us for at least 20 minutes into overdrive for Julio, Deborah, Gary, Tom, Tariq, and others that are patiently holding. Obviously, I'll be back then tomorrow. More on the economy, more on the royal wedding and how disgusting it is to have people groveling to these hereditary tyrants. Why not worship Kim Jong-il's son, you know, if hereditary power and despotism is so wonderful? We're going to be discussing all of that. More on the fact that they're just introducing the slaves to the fact that their cell phones all track everybody in real time. The system could have let the public know this a long time ago. Now they're letting you know because they're starting to use it in court. That, yeah, we track you. There's no warrants. And, yeah, we stick our hands down your pants. And, yeah, we're going to take your pension funds. And if you don't like it, SWAT teams are standing by. We've got to take our governments back. We've got to take our police back because tyranny will come to your door in a uniform if it comes. But before I end this hour, please remember to support our sponsors. Namely, the online video bookstore apparel shopping cart with shirts like The Answer to 1984 is 1776. People say, what does that mean? A lot of Americans are kind of threatened by the 1776. I heard that's a bad thing. You can say, no, it's a good thing. But because you're brainwashed, you think it's a bad thing. We've got new T-shirts exposing fluoride in the tap water as deadly poison. Those are available. In fact, here's the shirt, and I think it's the best one we've got. You want to get some talk going with folks around you. It's got a drop of water with a skull in it. On the back, it says there is poison in the tap water. This is how we're responding to the system, is with more information, more truth. Again, Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. Now, I'm only going to spend a few minutes with Ted on this. Gold is up, I don't know, $3 or $4 today. Silver went within a few cents of $50. It's all-time record high. And then they drove it down a few bucks. Obviously, with the open announcements that the dollar is to be fully scrapped, for a time, you heard Dr. Roberts, they may try to manipulate it down, but it's only going to go up in the long term. Briefly, Ted, what are today's specials that you've got for listeners?
Well, your video special right now is going to be $125. I did have to raise that just a little bit, but I'm really keeping it to the tight here. I mean, I tell you, if people were just to buy the silver dollars, the three of them alone would put that particular deal well over $140 without the videos.
That's three silver dollars, free shipping, and three of my best-selling films for $125. That's about $80 off.
It is. It's a huge discount. So of course, we have the Franks at 331, British Sovereigns 415. We have Buffaloes. We have U.S. Eagles. I mean, right now, those survival bags of dimes that I keep talking about, now it takes 36 dimes, the newer dime, to buy one of the older dime. Last time I was on the air with you, it was 32. I mean, that's where the trend is going. There's $3 trillion in China right now looking for a conservative place to park its money. There's only about $1.5 trillion worth of gold bullion in the entire world to buy. And that gives you an idea of what the ratio is like right now. The stock market's getting hit. All equities are getting hit. The Fed, just today, Alex, the Fed bought an above average amount of U.S. government treasuries trying to keep this thing all glued together. It is not looking
good. No, we're on a razor's edge. I hope folks take advantage of these radio specials. Midas is always very competitive, has the supplies there in hand. And just amazingly competitive. But these radio specials are actual losers for Ted. That means winners for you. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Take advantage of the three silver dollars. That's $140 value in the market right now. For $125, so you're getting like $15 off. And then on top of it, the three films and the free shipping, 800-686-237. Back in 1 minute. Overdrive. Stay with us. We've got a key report from Kurt Nimmo, TSA, an army of pervs and criminals. And Wayne Madsen, we're going to come back in the next segment and go to these callers, but shifting gears into some other subjects, I want to get into the TSA, the economy a little bit more, but finishing up with Obama's background, from all the pieces you've got, and of course you're going to be traveling around the world doing some more investigation now, people should pray for you and support you at WayneMadsenReport.com, which is a subscription site, folks. Real journalists need your support out there. As you're on this trail, looking at enough pieces of the jigsaw, what does it look like to you?
Well, I think it's clear that Obama was groomed from a very young age, and that's not to say he was the only one. They probably have all kinds of people they're grooming for the highest office in the country. I think Obama was the right person at the right time after 8 years of Bush. They put that hope and change message out like it was a Pepsi commercial. The logo was even the same as the Pepsi advertising logo. And we bought it. I remember, of course, in 68 when they repackaged Richard Nixon. It's the new Nixon. It was like a new brand of detergent. It wasn't the old Nixon with the 5 o'clock shadow. You won't have Dick Nixon to kick. They did the same thing with Obama. But I think, unlike Richard Nixon, this was an intelligence agency operation. I wouldn't suggest that the CIA had much to do with Richard Nixon. As a matter of fact, they probably had a lot to do with removing him from the White House.
Yeah, they're tired of strong presidents that actually exercise the executive power. They want purely held, kept minions.
Right, and so the word I get from about Obama from people who see him on Air Force One, who encounter him, is he's very cold, he's arrogant. They'll say, "Good morning, Mr. President." He won't respond. I mean, at least George W. Bush did that. You know, I mean, you know, he might have been an idiot in all other respects, but we have a guy who thinks, I think he believes he's entitled. He's been told, he said, you know, other than saying he wanted to be president of Indonesia, he said he wanted to be president of the United States. So clearly he, and we're told, well, you know, because he had this rags to riches story, there was never any rags in his background.
But he's looking more, well, he's very polished. He's looking more and more angry these days, though.
Well, yeah. Oh, yes. I think it's getting to him. I think, from what I understand, he has a very thin skin for criticism. And at one point in time, there was some feeling that maybe he wasn't going to run again for re-election. But his wife, Michelle, is apparently the same way. Very thin skin when it comes to criticism. But this election may not be a cakewalk. He got a cakewalk the last time. Okay, it got a little nasty between him and Hillary. But I think now he's got his 4 years to run on, doing everything for Wall Street, nothing for Main Street.
Where does stage terror play in? Because I really see a lot of White House advisors, as you know, are in the news saying, man, gee, a terror attack would really help us.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, look at Cass Sunstein with all his cognitive disinformation, infiltration. Rahm Emanuel, you never let a good crisis go to waste. He's now mayor. He will be soon the mayor of Chicago. I really fear for Chicago because I think all the right...
they have the highest gas prices. They're
right, and we've got Larry Silverstein now, the owner of the Willis Tower, the former Sears Tower. We've got all kinds of military operations going on in Chicago, and there's been some very strange financial dealings that have been passed on to me about maritime liens against the Treasury Department. Liens that were put in by the governor of Illinois, Secretary of State, Chicago Police. What's going on in Chicago? I think we have to really be fearful of the city of Chicago. And would Obama sacrifice Chicago? He has no roots to Chicago other than the fact he was plopped in there by some federal agency.
So a lot of people in their gut have seen all the moves, but also strategically, that a false flag is in the offing in Chicago.
People I talk to in Chicago feel that way. They feel that it's going to happen in this mid-America city.
I've had Chicagoans tell me that they're telling folks get out of the Sears Tower.
Right, right. Well, you know, we do know that, you know, Chicago's always been called America's city. You know, it's a city of neighborhoods. It's a lot of different ethnic groups. It really is a true American city. And everyone in the Midwest has some connection to Chicago, either through business, family, or even just going there because New York's too far away. And
so hitting that will get everybody scared. Stay there, Wayne. I was a investigative man. Journalist Wayne Madsen with us. We're here live under the fourth hour today. It is the 25th day of April 2011 on this Monday edition. And we're going to go to some of your phone calls here in a moment. But finishing up, you're saying you spent a lot of time in Chicago in the last year investigating the mafia connections that are pretty much public. And so bottom line, you're saying they're sending Rahm Emanuel, the admitted Israeli operative, over there to what? Get things ready for a little special event?
Well, I certainly would be worried about what could happen in Chicago because let's look at Obama covering up various aspects of his own private life there, his and some of his closest advisors. We also have to realize there was a trade. Rahm Emanuel leaves as White House chief of staff, winds up as mayor of Chicago. Bill Daley's Mayor Richard Daley's brother, Bill Daley, is now the White House chief of staff. Very nice little.
And he was one of the guys in the whole banker scam.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he was. You know, Morgan Stanley, the whole part of the whole bailout. You know, instead of being White House chief of staff, why isn't he under indictment? I mean, this is what Elliot Spitzer is saying about where are the jail sentences? Where has been Eric Holder, the attorney general, on indicting these people? They only took out a couple of them. And I think we have to really look at this nexus between Bill Daley, the chief of staff, Obama's from Chicago, Valerie Jarrett is a slumlord, land scam artist from Chicago, Axelrod has gone back to Chicago to run the Obama campaign. We got Emanuel there as mayor. I mean, it's a perfect city if they wanted to pull something off. I would add that Sam Zell is the owner of the Chicago Tribune. And, you know, they've emaciated the investigative staffs of the two major Chicago newspapers, the Chicago Tribune and the Sun-Times. So there's nobody there except for some bloggers and some independent journalists who are really looking into what's been going
on. And I've seen independent journalists, when Rahm's out in public in a park, they try to talk to him, and the media roughs them up. I mean, they just love being servants.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there really isn't any more independent media, as a major mainstream media, in the city of Chicago. Now, this is a town with a rich history of muckraking journalists. You know, Mike Royko, and we can go, the list goes on and on. But they don't exist there to any great extent any longer.
What do you expect the Republicans to do? Because they're basically scapegoating the welfare moms, which is part of the bankruptcy. But if you don't deal with the private Federal Reserve, the root of the scam, everything else is rearranging deck chairs.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, look at the Republicans. I personally think that Obama will be reelected. I mean, look at the Republican side. That is going to be a three-ring circus without the circus master. Donald Trump, he's a sideshow. Now, you know, he's criticizing Karl Rove, and, you know, it's a food fight. And it will remain a food fight up through the primaries and to the convention. Isn't it funny? Obama has no body on the Democratic side willing to challenge him in the primary. Dennis Kucinich said he should have a challenger. My feeling is the way the Obama administration has acted like a mafia. I think they've scared basically any potential rival who would take Obama on in the Democratic primary. I don't think we may see some minor people, but I don't think we're going to see a major.
Well, the word is a lot of Republicans think that four more years of Obama will even cement their takeover even more.
Right. And of course, they're looking at future elections, possibly, you know, taking over the Senate. And eventually, you know, locking in the White House in a pretty much landslide victory.
The trifecta,
right? And look, Wall Street. What problems do they have with Obama? He's given them everything. He's screwed over Main Street, but he's given Wall Street everything. So if it ain't,
and he puts the liberals to sleep. Now they like torture and war. It's kind of liberal and cute.
Right. We can't, you know, you can't even muster a big crowd for an anti-war demonstration.
That's what I've said to Republicans that criticize Obama. His rhetoric's different, but his actions are George Bush squared. You guys should love it.
Right. And he's even seen and raised Bush on some issues, like going after whistleblowers in the government. We've now got one guy, former official of the NSA, being charged under the Espionage Act of 1917. Only four people in the history of the United States have been charged under that act. And we have Tom Drake now, his trial starting in Baltimore soon, and they want to put him away forever. Not because he revealed anything of a national security nature, he revealed that there was massive corruption with contracts in NSA to the tune of billions and billions of dollars.
And they're publicly going after him for exposing fraud. That message is, let us steal the money, we're mafia, sit down and shut up.
Absolutely, and the people he's talking about were Michael Hayden, who was the NSA director at the time, and the current director, who's now got the added hat of Cyber Command, General Keith Alexander, and it was Obama that gave him that that extra star and that new command.
By the way, I'm really worried about them running a false flag on the web and then saving it by taking the freedom away. They're really prepping everybody for that.
And Obama said he was going to have the most transparent and open government in history, and he has cracked down on Freedom of Information Act releases. I mean, this is going beyond what even Bush did. Bush was kind of benign in that respect. So, yes, in many respects, Obama is worse on some issues.
And so Republicans that thought tyranny was cool, they ought to really love what Obama's doing.
They should. I think the neocons, they're happy with him, but they wish he would go further. We heard McCain's over there in Libya the other day, standing in front of one of these rebel flags, the old monarchist flag, saying, we need to have troops here. This is
just, the troops are already there. He's getting them ready. You've been to Libya. What's your view of it?
Well, I was there in October of 2009. I was in Gaddafi's tent. He was celebrating the 40th anniversary of his revolution. He called it the Green Revolution. It has nothing to do with the environment, I might add. And it was quite clear that it was a dictatorship. With all what he said about we have direct democracy, the people rule, it's not true. His image was everywhere. People didn't smile. People whispered. You can tell when you're in a dictatorship. But unfortunately,
kind of the way America's going, with images of the government and Napolitano everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. And I think with what happened in Tunisia and Egypt on both sides of Libya, it was a foregone conclusion or would be a revolt there. But I think the problem is that certain Western powers, Britain, France, United States, saw, hey, this is a chance to go in and grab the oil. And that's exactly what Trump said. We got to go in there and grab the oil. Well, that's what this is all about. So people who might have been neutral on Gaddafi say, well, he may be a dictator, but he's our dictator. We saw the same thing play out in Iraq when they were invaded. People who might not have liked Saddam Hussein did, come to the defense of Iraq because they're nationalists. They want to protect their own country. So we see.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing. The AFRICOM also wants to use Libya as a base.
Right. Gaddafi was building a huge international airport that was going to be the hub for Africa. What a perfect place to stick AFRICOM with a huge runway that can handle all kinds of aircraft and a hub for Africa. And now we see, of course, these revolutions starting to spill south of the Sahara into other countries. And I think this plays right into the AFRICOM game plan to go in there.
Well, you've seen the same card with the French going into the Ivory Coast.
Right, and they're doing it for us. I mean, the French are basically, this isn't the Chirac France anymore. This is Sarkozy France, and he's basically, use a cliche, he's our French poodle.
All right, let's go ahead and talk to Julio in Illinois. We're going to go to the bottom of the hour here with calls. Julio in Illinois, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, good afternoon to the both of you. Happy Easter. It's great to talk to two true journalists. History is going to show that you guys were reporting the truth all along. You guys are absolutely right, hitting the nail on the coffin. False flag will happen in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. I'm terrified. You look at Bill Daley. He used to work where? J.P. Morgan Chase. What's J.P. Morgan Chase's problem? They're shorting the silver market. Silver is booming, almost 650 in the Asian markets today. I have a feeling once they're trying to speed up the Blagojevich retrial just so they can shut up Blagojevich, because he truly can send Rahm Emanuel into deep trouble if that happens.
Yeah, they're not even letting Blagojevich defend himself, play tapes, or talk. And I thought when you got one trial and it was hung jury, you got off. I guess they're going to try him like over and over again, Wayne.
Oh, absolutely. He wants to have played the 500 hours of wiretap information. The judge is dirty. James Zagel is a dirty judge. The prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, is absolutely tainted. He's very dirty. It goes back to the 93 World Trade Center.
People aren't dirty in Chicago. The government's good.
Out of New York, Fitzgerald. But
New York's not dirty either. These are good people.
Yeah, right. But basically, Fitzgerald is always, I think he's probably got a background with the CIA because of the cover-up of critical evidence in the 93 World Trade Center bombing, and now he's sitting in Chicago as the U.S. attorney for Northern Illinois, another guy we ought to keep an eye on who's in the right place, possibly at the right time.
For those that don't know, the feds cooked the bomb, trained the driver, and carried out the attack at the World Trade Center the first time.
Right, and there were critical intercepts between a U.N. mission for Sudan and the foreign ministry of Sudan and Khartoum that were never entered into evidence showing that in the 93 World Trade Center bombing, Osama bin Laden was involved. But because he was a CIA asset until 95, they didn't want to introduce that because they'll say, hey, CIA, what was one of your guys doing involved in this? So they laid it on the blind shake.
We're going to skip this final break and go all the way up to 29 before we end this live transmission and go back into key retransmission. Thank you, Julio. Gary in Florida. Gary, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Kudos to you, Alex. I love your documentaries.
Thank you.
Very informative. Besides uncovering the lies and the deception and the conning and the conniving and all this, how can we go into action? Like, we need indictments against these people.
Well, first you've got to take your states and your counties back, and when you do stand up against this mafia, a lot of times they'll kill you or set you up, so we need to get a lot of people angry and awake, all putting it on the line, so that there's too many targets, and we just basically take the moral high ground, expose these people to where the emperor has no clothes. I mean, like this royal wedding, the emperor has no clothes. They're a bunch of despots. They're inviting a bunch of dictators over. It's a celebration of evil and despotism, and it's the same thing there. We call it for what it is. Wayne.
Well, I think so, and I get back to the issue. During the Bush administration, we turned out 300,000, 350,000 people at anti-war demonstrations in Washington, D.C. We had a recent one, a couple of hundred maybe, because, you know, what's disappeared? Well, the Soros money doesn't go there anymore. The establishment Democratic money doesn't go. And even back in those demonstrations, very few elected Democratic officials would even show up.
Well, those groups are all not just they're all funded by Ford. They're all funded by Soros. The money's there for them not to do anything.
Absolutely. And so we see the Democrats saying, well, as long as it's a Republican in the White House, we'll go out and protest. But the minute there's a Democrat who's doing the same exact thing, in some cases worse. I mean, Obama's got three official wars going on right now, where Bush had two. And we don't know. Pakistan, a covert war.
They've been saying get the drones out.
Absolutely. So, these are phonies. These Democrats are phonies. They call themselves progressives. Soros gives $1 million to Human Rights Watch. Human Rights Watch selects.
Yeah, they call Soros a communist, but it's keep your friends close, enemies closer. It's all about controlling the left. And the Republicans are about controlling the right.
And it's exactly what Rupert Murdoch does on the right wing side of the House with the, you know, Fox News and all the other media that he owns.
For decades saying there's no world government.
Right.
When it was being built. Anything else, caller? All right, he dropped off. Deborah in California. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I just want to thank you for waking me up 2 years ago. I've been a member ever since. God bless you and yours. And Wayne Mattson, I pray for your safe passage wherever you're going to go. I was born and raised in Chicago. My father was an iron worker there, usually ate his lunch about 80 stories above the city. And loved to joke about the Levitt store. My question is this. In Sudan, that Sudan ordeal that happened in 83 to 205, where they had to run for their lives to Kenya. Is this what's happening in the Ivory Coast now? And how much is the CIA or Black Ops in the ordeal with France and everything?
Oh, it's admitted that the West is backing the rebels that murder thousands at a pop with machetes, and then they remove the one government and put in the murderers. It's just like Rwanda. Now, in fact, you were part of that war crimes tribunal.
Right, in Rwanda, of course, Clinton was president at the time, and there was a double assassination. They shot down the airplane carrying the presidents of Rwanda and Burundi, both ethnic Hutus, and they're the dominant peoples in both countries. And it was the Central Intelligence Agency working with other groups in Rwanda that helped Kagame, the current president, our dictator in Rwanda, shoot that plane down. That triggered this huge civil war. We know that Kagame himself was murdering his own Tutsis to make it look like, oh, look what these evil people are doing. You know, you have to come to our assistance. Clinton was just benign in the whole thing, but the Defense Intelligence Agency was very active in Rwanda. Clinton says, well, we didn't know. He knew full well what was going on over there. By putting Kagame in, we got rid of Mobutu and Zaire, and then the Congo, 6 million dead since the first invasion from Rwanda of Congo. in the mid-1990s, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And Ivory Coast, yes, just like Sudan, May 9th, we get the new Republic of South Sudan, independent country, majority Christian. Susan Rice, our ambassador to UN, Obama's ambassador to UN, has always hated the government of Sudan. She has been literally in bed with some of these rebel leaders in South Sudan. She has a visceral hatred for the Arab North. She is not a very good diplomat because all through Africa, they know that she is totally biased, and she's anything but a diplomat. Ivory Coast, you have the Alassane Ouattara, who the rebel guy that took over, said he won the election, and you know he said no, he said he won the election. The incumbent said he didn't. We had a civil war. Alassane Ouattara's wife is a French citizen, very close to Sarkozy, very close to the diamond business. There are diamonds in Ivory Coast. And this is what it's all about.
Yeah, anybody tries to sell diamonds, they call it blood diamonds.
Blood diamonds.
The real blood diamonds are the ones sold through the Oppenheimer De Beers monopoly. But then they call all the other diamonds they don't control. In fact, tomorrow when you're on with us, let's spend part of the interview getting into Africa, because you've been a witness before the U.S. House of Representatives, but also to the U.N. Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. And after the fact, from my research, it's confirmed that the U.N. actually help position some of the people to be massacred. Is that correct?
Well, the UN was in there with Belgian peacekeepers when the plane carrying the two presidents was shot down. Of course, many of those Belgians were killed in retaliation, but some of these Belgian peacekeepers were in proximity to where the Kagame forces, the rebel forces, were in a position to fire the shoulder-launched SAM missiles that took out the airplane. You know, the UN's never investigated that. It was an international act of terrorism. The French government investigated. I testified before the French terrorism judge on that issue. But the UN never, and the U.S. certainly doesn't, never investigated.
Why were you testifying on Africa? Why are you seen as an expert?
Well, I wrote a book some years ago called Genocide and Covert Operations in Africa, 93 to 99, which took in this whole issue with the shooting down of the aircraft. Years later, we found, they said that, well, they couldn't find a black box. The black box was found in a drawer at the UN headquarters in New York. It had already been looked at by the FAA and the NTSB. And well, we know what they do in these cases. They cover up. And it's quite clear that Africa's a playground for our nasty special ops people, the private mercenary companies. They've been in there for years, all kinds of. Blackwater's just one of them. There are many others, U.S., French, Belgium.
I saw De Beers in 99 in New Yorker magazine bragging, the World Diamond Monopoly Company, for those that don't know, that whenever a country tries to mine diamonds, they just send in mercs.
Oh, absolutely, because the whole diamond trade is based on, it's fairly recent. It was
artificial scarcity.
Absolutely, and you know, it's always a wedding ring, and you got to give a diamond wedding ring to somebody you're proposing to. This comes out of Marilyn Monroe, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and all Hollywood created the mystique about diamonds.
Diamonds were only semi-precious till they were sold to people as another Edward Bernays fraud.
Absolutely, and now there's effectively a monopoly with the beers and the diamond cutters in Antwerp, Amsterdam, Tel Aviv, and increasingly we see some of that being outsourced to places like India and Bangkok, Thailand, because, you know, the diamond cutters in Europe charge too much in a way of salary. So we even see in their own industry them outsourcing to these various developing countries.
Totally unbelievable. Let's jam in a few more here. Tariq in Georgia, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Alex Jones? How you doing, Wayne?
Good. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I just want to give a couple of comments on Obama, why I believe they put him in office. I basically believe they put him in office to just give you a little background. I'm a 33-year-old African-American male. I was in the Navy for 4 years. I've been out for 4 years now, too. Honorable discharge. I believe they put him in office to basically shut black people up, because anytime you say something bad about them, it's like, if you're white, you're a racist, and if you're black, you're a hater. So it's like that double-edged sword, and
Well, no, I mean, it's a way to inject identity politics to further divide and conquer and then give torture, war, and Wall Street looting left cover. Wayne Madsen.
Well, no, I agree, and I've spoken to many African-Americans from Chicago and Washington, D.C., and they agree with the caller, Tariq from Georgia.
Are these fake polls that 93% of blacks like him?
Well, who are they polling? I think most of the polls are fake now. You know, it used to be that there were independent pollsters. Now look at the polling companies. They're affiliated with the ABC News, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post. These are corporate media entities. So, of course, you know, it's how they ask the questions, who they ask the questions to. I don't believe the polls. The polls, I think the polls are totally...
Let me ask Tariq this. What amount of folks that you know who are African-American, what amount of them really like Obama?
Vast majority, and especially the older ones, which, like, I have friends that are, like, close to 60, and they believe him. Like, they'll follow him to the grave if need be.
Well, that's what, just like white people would follow George W. Bush to their grave. It's this identity politics. These guys are just puppets. Tariq, great point. Sorry to Ron, Mike, Tim, and others. We'll be back live tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, and Wayne will be back in studio. Great job to the crew. Great job to Genesis. God bless you all. Retransmission starts now.